must have forgot, forgot, forgot. When they stole my gold medal and soul career, let's look back at my whole career, cause y'all must have forgot, forgot, forgot. The best pound for pound is mine. Hit Percy Harris with four hooks at one time. Y'all must have forgot, forgot, forgot. When I beat Bernard Hopkins and won the IBF, the right was hurt, beat him with the left. Y'all must have forgot, forgot.
Salutations out there. This is the Firestarter Crew coming back at you with a brand new podcast. I'm TKO and I got my main man, K-Bad.
What's up, y'all?
I'll talk to you in a minute, Kenny. What's up, man?
Yeah, I just missed last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, it seemed like it was longer than that, though. Hmm. Yeah, maybe it's that summer solstice or something like that, man. I don't know. Bob is at a family function tonight, so we'll get back with you next week, bro. KB.
Yes, sir.
How's your week been? Your last 2 weeks, matter of fact.
Been adventurous. Just been going out of town, doing this, doing that, working on some things. That's about it.
Had any good victuals out of town?
I will say that I went to Nashville and I didn't like the hot chicken. Yeah, I didn't really like it that much.
What did you like about it, yeah? I know you like your sauce. sauces say that you like them sauces, yeah?
Yeah, it was the texture. I don't know, maybe it was the place I went to. They supposed to have some of the best hot chicken, but yeah, I wasn't really fucking with it, you know?
So, I think this is apropos, yeah? Because it seems to me that you went to the hot chicken version of the place that I went to for a cheesesteak about a month ago.
Yeah. Probably so, you know. Yeah.
You got that below standard, you know.
Yeah.
It wasn't hot enough, you
know? See, that's the thing from what I've been told about hot chicken is that you don't want to get it as hot as they make it unless you just want to melt your face off. So people just say normally start off at the mild and then just go up from there. But the mild could be, you know, spicy enough for you.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. But, like, I just didn't like how they fried it. I didn't like the skin on it. Meat was kind of dry. You know? Like, I'll text you the picture of the shit I took for. I didn't even post the shit on social media or nothing because I was like, yeah, this shit jive trash. You know? But
damn.
And like I said, it was supposed to be one of the best spots, but there's other places, you know what I'm saying? I'll make it back there, and I'll, you know. Yeah.
Well, I guess it's better that you start the bar low and then you raise upon that rather than, you know, just blowing your load right away.
Right, right.
Yeah. All right, No brisket, no ribs. You went to Cashville, yeah. You're supposed to, you know.
Yeah, I just didn't really have a whole lot of time. You know, I did go to this other spot called the Loveless Cafe. They're known for their biscuits, and the biscuits were slamming. I give them credit on that. You know, like, yeah, everything people say about them biscuits is, pretty on point.
Hey, how are them biscuits on a scale of 1 to Shauna, yeah?
I'm gonna say there.
You like that?
Yeah, that's pretty good. I'm gonna give him a Shauna 0.5.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, man. Our sister Shauna made some biscuits for my homecoming brunch. Yeah. She brought the pan to the front door. I think one biscuit made it in there. They had to smuggle that in there.
Yeah.
I think somebody put it in the orifice to sneak it in there.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I hope these pictures don't get in the wrong hands. Because we like some butter biscuit eating ass niggas.
Yeah, that's
on homecoming, you know.
Yeah, that shit look real ethnic.
Yeah. Yeah, who just show up to a party with a motherfucking bowl of biscuits, but yeah.
Yeah, I think Bobby was like leaning back, pointing to him. Yeah,
I got a couple pictures of them biscuits. Yeah. Them biscuits do look slamming, and they was good. So don't get me wrong. Like, yeah.
Bobby was posing like Manny Moe and Jack. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, that's pretty good.
All right. All right, so I'm gonna let y'all in on something. Ba and I tried to record last week, man, but it was like almost everything that we were trying to do was just like failing, yeah. So, you know, I'll recount a few things. We talked about during the open. So, last 2 weeks, I don't know, it seems like every 6 months, 6 to 8 months, Sean, something more and more washed about getting old seems to kick in. Mm-hmm. Now it's my fucking allergies, dog. Like, I used to have Molly have allergies. Like, it used to be like, you know, pollen, cut grass, that's about it. You know, then it came a little seasonal, you know, mid-30s, whatever, man. But now, bro, like, the past fucking 2 weeks, Sean, my eyes been watering almost every day, young. Sneezing out of control just in the house and shit. So, yeah, man. I got tired of that shit. And, perfect storm. I was on Twitter and them fat kids popped up and they had that fucking HEPA, air, purifier for like, it was 2-something, then it was walked down to 150, then it took 50 plus 25%. Like, I paid $84 for this joint, you know. And, yeah, man, it purified air. Like, as much as I love my scent machines and my candles and all that, man, every day I come home from work, bro, it feel like I just walked in to the first day of spring, you know. And, yeah, it's absolutely worth it. So, racked up on some fucking filters and shit, man, just so I have no fucking excuse through the end of the year. So, yeah, man. Wash Chronicles for the week is the HEPA filter. I love it.
Yeah, I got one of them too. Welcome, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's long overdue.
Allergy sufferers, yeah.
Yeah, long overdue, bro. What else did we talk about? I know you were away most of last weekend. City was on fire, bro. Like, literally.
Yeah, I got back just in time, I think, for most of the festivities. Like, I didn't, you know, of course, go downtown, but I saw some in the water. Most of it on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, they do a real good job of bringing these concerts and festivals to like, you know, the small big screen. But I think they should just do a better job of advertising, because a lot of people didn't even know that, you know, both days of the festival were broadcast on Prime. They had like both stages and everything. It was real well laid out, but just a lot of people just didn't know.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't even know it was on. I think somebody texted me and was asking, was I watching it? And yeah. I had no idea it was on. And, I mean, you go right to Amazon Prime, you got to scroll down a little bit, but it says right there, live events. Yeah. Maybe like a push notification, because, you know, as I was Amazon, I have on my push notifications for Amazon and Amazon Prime on my phone. Maybe there's a push notification for that.
And then, like you said, like, you know, it wasn't, you know, wasn't front and center on that splash page like Lizzo.
Right. So. Right. Yeah.
Had to scroll a little bit. But, yeah, man. I actually have a link, I think, on YouTube to watch the Clips performance. I really wanted to see that. But I think they performed on Saturday. And Saturday, I was watching Bow Rap. So, that was kind of my day. And I was kind of washed from Friday night. But then Sunday, I did catch Ja Rule and Ashanti. I caught 21 Savage and caught Tyler, who fucking killed it. He also has his own concert on Prime for maybe about 5-6 months ago, I want to say, right before his album dropped. But yeah, his performance was great.
And, yeah, he did a fantastic job. Man. Yeah. Fantastic job.
And
Justin Timberlake, not so much.
Yeah, I still know what that motherfucking tap dance he did was. I think like Daffy Duck,
you know? Yeah. You know he apologized for that shit?
As well he should have.
Yeah. Yeah. That was his version of beating his feet, I guess. And
yeah.
Yeah. He was getting trashed and he just apologized for it, so.
Yeah. It's the best thing to do. Just take the L.
Yeah. It's not easy to do if you haven't done it for a long time or just don't know, like, the, you know, the culture behind it and stuff like that. Like, some people just naturals at doing it if you just grew up listening to the music and all that. Mm-hmm. But if you ain't done none of that and you just looked at it on IG and think, oh, yeah, I can do this. No, you can't, you know.
Yeah. But getting that mirror in practice, you know.
Yeah, dog.
Before you get in front of the whole city.
Right.
Yeah.
And really the whole world, being that it's on Prime, yeah. So yeah, a lot of people saw that shit, so
true that.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, the weather gods were very kind last weekend. I know I went out on Friday. They had a block party down downtown at Franklin Square. Been recently redone over the past like 2 years. I think the first big event they had last year was during our homecoming. Like Just Blaze and Josh Sonic DJ whatever. So this was like the official block party for Something in the Water, and Josh Sonic was there again. Had a couple performers there. I know T.I. son Damani was there. It was real nice, man. It was hot as fuck on Friday, but then when the actual festivities started for the festival, I think it dropped down to like 80 on Saturday and Sunday. So it was like perfect weather, man. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Yeah, it was great weather all weekend.
Yeah. But, you know, niggas still find a way to fuck it up at some point. They were shooting down U Street. Somebody got, a couple people got hit on, I think, Sunday. And, yeah, niggas had these bikes out. Vroom, vrooming all times of day and night. The whole weekend, but other than that, man, you know, what can you say? Success overall. And
I will say this, Tone. A lot of the gun violence that's been going on in the city, Baltimore kind of looking at D.C. like,
So.
And they have every right to gray ball now, you know? So.
Yeah, so.
Because niggas were shooting up at Tyson's Corner, you know?
Hey, Young, I just found out about that today, Young.
Niggas were shooting inside Iverson Mall. Now down 14U, down Mochella. I keep on going. I'm just saying, you know, like,
so I don't know about the Mochella, but I be getting these motherfucking these notices. Like, I got put on some fucking server list and shit. So I get these like police notices every time it's a violent crime. You know, I'm ready to separate Southeast from the rest of the city because that's where all the violence is happening, you know?
That's not where the shooting at Mochella happened, though.
I said, other than Mochella, but, okay. You know, seeing as though that was a go-go event, you know? Okay. I can see some niggas from across the, you know, the water come over here and, you know, letting off because, you know, the string of violence, it pretty much stems from Southeast and then it spreads around the rest of the city, man. Like, it hasn't been that bad. Like, this blatant shit, like, shooting in the middle of the day, and like, you know, if it's not a foot, okay, I see what you're doing there, but, you know, it's fine. It's fine, O'Kenny. It's fine. So, seems though that's what we're doing. Anytime some shit happens in Baltimore, I'm going to lump you in because you live in Maryland, okay?
I don't, you can't do that.
Why not? It's your state, right?
You know Baltimore has nothing to do with PG. You know that.
Do y'all pay taxes in the same state? Do y'all?
We don't pay taxes in the same city. We don't talk. Come on, let's not do that, you know? Come on, you know? You can't just chop off Southeast.
Y'all both don't rock with, what's your word? Hogue dog, gang? Huh? Is Larry Hogan not your keeper?
If that's what you want to do, that's fine.
See,
you
know,
like
all
I said,
you had
dog,
to do you, yeah, was you go can't, along with what I said. Yeah, this
you
could
can't,
be a peaceful
nah,
segment,
nah,
man.
But you can't just lop off Southeast. You can't just do that.
Well, you can't lop off Baltimore.
I don't live in Baltimore, but
I don't live in Southeast.
You live in D.C.
No, you live in Maryland. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get back on track here, Kenny. Mm-hmm. So yeah, a lot of people made money in the city last weekend.
Mm-hmm. That's a good saw thing. That, yeah.
That's a good thing, because, you know, tourism and a whole bunch of establishments that have, you know, traditionally eaten very well have been struggling the past few years. So it was good to see a lot of people I know, especially that have business ventures out here in these streets, you know, reap some of the benefits of such a grandiose event happened in our city last week. So
nice. Shout was Half Smoke one of those establishments?
Young, never been there, never going, Young.
Oh,
yeah, man. So here's the thing. That's for young niggas. Anytime anybody older with some sense wants a Half Smoke, they go on the binge, Young.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cause I think we talked about this shit before, and I was like, "Yeah, I ain't been, yeah."
Mm-hmm.
Have you been?
No, I've never been. No.
Okay. All right, let's not start this Baltimore thing.
I'm just saying.
Back to it.
I'm just saying.
If we want to be
DC been on that Summer Jam screen a lot lately, yeah. That's it. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. That's it.
Right. So what I was going to say is earlier is that my boys Malik and Jabari from the city, and they live in Philly now, and we pretty much just go back and forth, and my man Chandy, we pretty much just go back and forth saying, well, yeah, man, D.C. worse than Philly right now. You post up and you know, they come right back, and then it's been going on for like the past like year and a half, and D.C. is bad, but
Philly is on a whole nother level. Between, like, Kensington, like, Philly is just, ugh.
Bro.
Nah, it's not even close, you know?
It's like the level of savagery is just different, you know?
Yeah, yeah. There's big parts of Philly that look third worldish, you know?
Bro. Yeah, man. And, like, just driving through it when I went up there last month. Yeah, man, like, you got blocks that still look like the fucking Wire, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they trying to eke out some of that fucking, you know, gentrification and shit, man. But, yeah, some places, like, man, even the white people ain't coming here sticking it out for the next 3 years before that shit turn around. Like,
right,
nah,
right.
It ain't worth it.
Yeah.
You can't get more than one motherfucking car down down some streets. It's, yeah. You get caught up, man. It's literally nowhere to go.
Nowhere to go, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's literally going to be a hot summer. Like, summer just started yesterday, man. And it feels like it's already been a long summer. And to that, I say, that's what you niggas ask for, you know? Like, fucking 65 degrees. I can't wait till it just get hot and stay hot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. Violence, music, what else we got here? That's about it, man.
Let me ask you a question. Did you see in New York, Eric Adams, Bulldoze, all those ATVs and dirt bikes?
Yeah, I was actually just watching TMZ, a TMZ short on YouTube, and they asked French Montana about that, and he's like, yeah, are you talking about my good friend Eric Adams? Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I saw that. I really don't have an opinion about that.
I heard you mention dirt bikes and ATVs earlier. I know some people saw it and was like, good.
Yeah, I don't blame them, but, you know, when there's nothing else to do in the fucking city, man, like, I'd rather these niggas ride some fucking bikes than just go out shooting people, you know?
Yeah, I don't look at it either or, you know, just, it's dangerous as shit. That's all I know, you know.
It is. It is. I guess just seeing it, like, sparingly. If this shit was, like, every day, like, if the shit that I was hearing on Sunday was an everyday thing, then yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I'd have went out there with my own blowtorch, you know, and ate it. Him in the process, but it wasn't, it's not that bad for me, so maybe that's why I don't view it as
okay
the worst thing in the world.
How about an every weekend thing?
Every weekend for 15 minutes, that might be bothersome, especially on a Sunday, which is like, you know, I try to wind down on Sunday.
Right.
For work week and all that, man. Mm-hmm. That might be a pain in the ass. If I had a family and I was sitting down for Sunday dinner, yeah, that also.
Mm-hmm.
If you know, if game 7 was on Sunday and I had to deal with that shit during the fourth quarter, like, maybe so.
Okay.
Like I said, I can see it from both sides, you know. Right. What else is going on here, man? Yeah, that's about it, man. That's about it. All right, let's jump into some sports, man. NBA finals are over. Oh, how times have changed in 2 weeks. Golden State has claimed their fourth championship in the past 8 years. First of all, can we say this is a dynasty? You know, I see people like debating this shit.
Yeah, it's a dynasty. I think four championships in 8 years, that's a dynasty. Yeah,
they've been to the finals like numerous times, man. Had like great series. Like, yeah, it's a dynasty. Of course, Steph finally won his first NBA Finals MVP. Seen a lot of different narratives being spun around that before and after. It doesn't matter as much. He's won two MVPs. He's an unselfish player. It's not going to matter in the grand scheme of things. It's just the titles or whatever. And as soon as he wins an MVP, oh, this changes everything. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound about accurate?
Say it again.
Does that sound about accurate, how people spun it before and after? Like, it wouldn't matter as much if he won an MVP because he's winning championships, and as soon as he wins an MVP, it changes everything?
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. So, what does this finals performance do for his legacy, in your opinion?
I think it really depends on how you felt about Steph Curry before this series. Because it seems like people were just kind of dug in on his legacy. Some people, it didn't move it one bit. For others, I think fans of his, he was already, you know, clearly in the top 15, maybe in the top 10, you know, players of all time. The things he's accomplished, like, not a lot of people have accomplished, multiple MVPs, multiple rings, now finals MVP. I think the only people that have that, I think it's only like 6 or 7 players, all of whom you would, you know, consider top 10. Players of all time without even thinking about it, like the Kareems, the Mikes, the LeBrons, the Magics, those types. I think Tim Duncan was the other one. I think it's just him. I think that's it. So, you know, is he one of the top 10 players of all time? I've had this discussion, you know, countless times, you know, during the series, after the series. Again, I think it just kind of depends on how you felt about him, because there are some people who are always going to say that the Hakeem Olajuwons of the world, like, once you kind of get past, like, the top 5 or 6 players, and you start talking about the Tim Duncans of the world, the Hakeems of the world, the Dr. J's of the world, like, there are people who are always going to say, like, to them, there's no question that those guys were better basketball players than Steph. But again, at some point, like, you can't deny everything that he's accomplished. You also can't deny that he's a phenomenal basketball player as well. Mm-hmm. So, to me, is he top 10? I don't know if he's definitely top 10, but to me, he's definitely top 15, like, no doubt about it.
Yeah. As you know, I don't put a whole bunch of stock in lists anymore because they seem to change. I feel like lists change depending on the conversation that week, and then a week later, people don't even remember what the fuck they said about this so-and-so list because they are on to the next list. So it's kind of like low-hanging fruit to me. But just in terms of his legacy, man, he presents a very unique...
He's a very polarizing dude.
Yeah. So he's super polarizing, and a word that you don't see used much, but I saw it thrown out a couple times this week. He's a transcendent player, man. Like, he definitely changed the way the game is played. Like,
yeah, no doubt about it.
Like personally,
you know, he was like Kareem in that way. I'm sorry, I keep interrupting. My bad.
No, you good. Personally, you know, I've always been a traditionalist when it comes to my point guards. I like playmakers more so than scoring point guards. Like, not to say that you have to be completely inept on the offensive end, but I've always contended that, you know, scoring first point guards, if they have off nights, then it's really nothing they can contribute because most of them, you know, aren't great defenders and they're not great playmakers. So when you depend on them to score and they don't get that right, then they really, you're pretty much playing at, you know, a great disadvantage that night, possibly for a series if they have a good defender on them. And, you know, he's debunked that myth because, obviously, with four championships and leading the way to multiple MVPs and a perennial great team, whatever, man, he's proven that you can be a point guard who looks for their shot more so than their assist on the average possession and still be successful. So, in that sense, man, like, yeah, he's completely changed the game because that's what everybody from GMs to fans to, you know, prognosticators, that's what they look for now. They look for that guard that can, you know, first it was the combo guard, scoring guard, and now it's just, you know, the guard. Everybody's looking for the guard. And mm-hmm. he was at the forefront of that movement, you know, about 10 years ago. So definitely got to give him his props there, man. And, you know, by all accounts, man, just a good dude, man, really unselfish. Sometimes maybe he was a little bit too unselfish. I definitely think he took that into account this series because he took some really tough shots. Tough meaning bad shots, but he's one of those dudes who can make those shots. So you give him some leeway there, man. And, you know, you couple that with maybe some inadequacies on his team. Like, you know, Klay wasn't Klay yet. Draymond didn't particularly have a great shooting series. You know, some other guys were inconsistent, whatever, man. So he didn't mind taking those shots because for him, especially like that fucking game, what was it, four? That game four, it was the Friday before last. That's one of the best performances I've seen on a final stage ever. Like, he literally put that team on his back. Some of the shots he made, like where he just had, you know, maybe an inch mm-hmm. to get a shot off, man. Mm-hmm. And he was going back and doing that back to back. Still chasing his man around. Like, you know, that's something else I asked you a couple weeks ago. I thought it was a slice, man. He actually played good defense in this series, John. I know he's not heralded for playing good defense, but, like, you know, he was getting posted, whatever. And you can see that he's put some work in the weight room, man. Like, this isn't Steph from, you know.
Oh, definitely not, yeah.
6 years ago, and that's what separates good players from great players and great players from fucking legends or whatever. Like, they continuously work at their game, and it's not just like the shooting. Like, you know, everybody can just work, get in the fucking gym and shoot 100 jump shots in a setting or whatever, but to get in that weight room and put in that work in the off season, you know, week in and week out, and you can really see it when people try to post you up, because that's you see like somebody's real core strength in the trenches, man. Like, gotta give him credit for that as well, man. Like, he's just done everything to maximize this run for this franchise that he resurrected.
A lot of people counted him out. Never thought they would get back on this stage, let alone win one. So,
yeah. Just a calendar year ago, a lot of people was partying on him. Like, oh, you can't even get in on a playing game. Like, you're supposed to be an all-time great. And you, like, yeah, man. It wasn't even dry partying. It was just partying.
Yeah.
And I get it. Like, people get tired of seeing the same players play for the championship every year, man. But if they're putting their work in, like, it's a reason that they're there. It's not, you know, by coincidence. So, we have that. A lot of people eating shit sandwiches on Andrew Wiggins, too. Speaking of low-hanging fruit, man, I've always thought that just shitting on him was kind of like, you know, an easy get. You know, he's unassuming. He doesn't really say a whole lot. He puts up decent numbers, but maybe doesn't come through in big games. I don't know when the fucking Timberwolves ever had a big game that people, you know, use that shit against him or whatever. But, you know, he played exceptionally well in the series. Arguably the second best player in the series. When you count both ends. And, yeah, man, he's shut a lot of people the fuck up, you know. And congrats to him. I've never had anything bad to say about Andrew Wiggins. Some of the jokes was funny, whatever, man. But, you know, just the fucking, like, consistent hate, you know. I never got it.
It was just how, it was just the fact that he was heralded as the next big thing, the future of basketball, by recruiting pundits, and he wasn't that. That's all. It wasn't really nothing he did.
Yeah, but niggas was like, what they call him on the college, weed plate Wiggins.
Yeah,
yeah, man. Like, at some point,
but you know, Tom, come on. Like, he hasn't been singled out for, like, shit like that. Like, Carl Anthony Towns. Like, people got names for him. Like, it's just agendas, you know. That's it.
Yeah, but it seemed like it was a little bit more vitriol for Wiggins for whatever reason. And I just think at some point we have to get to the point where you don't take these prognostications and these career like goals set by the media and lay that shit on the player, young. Throw that shit back in their face, young. Like, Andrew Wiggins never say he's gonna be the next motherfucking Michael Jordan, young. So why is he getting fried when he doesn't live up to that? He's been a good player. This year he was an all-star. Like, what the fuck? Like, where's all the hate coming from? It's coming from these damn predictions and, you know, career projections that people who don't play the game have put on these guys, man. I just think it's a little unfair to the millionaires to play a game for a living. Anyway, Steve Kerr, let's move on to him. 9 championships when you factor in all his, you know, player coaching in San Antonio as well as the Bulls along with this. A lot of people had this series over after they went down 2-1, but you have to give Steve a lot of credit for his game planning and the way he turned this series around on the defensive end. Like, you know, a lot was made about how well Boston plays defense, being the number one defensive team in the league. But Golden State was number 2. I didn't even know that. And from that point on through the end of this series, you can see how good of a defensive team they were this year and how it differed from a lot of the other teams that we've seen in the past. Before, like, they would just outscore people. Not saying that their defense was horrible, but it wasn't the focal point of their game plan, and this year it definitely was. You could see it in this series. Like, they got the ball out of people's hands. They made shooters work. They made people try to, you know, win one-on-one And that's when they had him. They grabbed a hold of this series, the control of this series, rather. And, yeah, man, won the last three games. What'd you think about Steve Kerr's job this series?
I thought he did a fantastic job as well. Mixing and matching his lineups. Putting Otto Porter into the starting lineup to get some shooting. Mm-hmm. And also some defensive versatility as well. Bringing Looney off the bench, I think that definitely helped. I think aside from the outside shooting, I think Otto's defense was great the entire series. Just a really smart defender. Really good feel for the game. That's something I've known about him for, you know, damn near 10 years now. Something that was obvious from day one just watching him. So happy for him to get a ring, no doubt about it. But like little things like that that Steve did throughout the series that I think definitely turned the tide back in favor of Golden State. So great job by him. I know people already talking about it. Is he the best coach in NBA history now?
Yeah,
people starting that discussion up. So, yeah, good for him, man. One of the good guys. So,
yeah. All right, Celtics. What went wrong, man? It was all good just 2 weeks ago.
Young. I know a lot of people don't want to hear that, but yeah, they still young. Still got a lot to figure out. I know a lot of people have pointed out the fact that. They could definitely use a point guard, someone that kind of distributes the ball instead of kind of what they're doing now.
Go ahead. I said, people not going to be able to have their cake and eat it too, man. So, when you change the game, you have players like, you know, Grant Hill, LeBron, obviously, Swingman, who can handle the ball and they can do it all. That kind of renders, you know, a distributing point guard, which the league kind of shies away from now. You know, going back to my original point, people want scores more so than playmakers. When you have that point guard, like a CP3 or whatever, that means that players like, you know, Brown and Tatum are going to have the ball less. And then when things don't go right, people are going to say, well, your star should have had the ball rather than your point guard. Like, you can't have everything. So, if they get rid of Marcus Smart, first of all, they're going to lose a whole lot on defense. Like, he's, you know, I think he was the best defending point guard this year. Couldn't see it in the finals, but, you know, for the most part, he's been, like, their fucking anchor on defense. If you take him away and put a playmaker there, you're going to lose something on defense, and then you're taking the ball out of the hands of some of your stars that, you know, didn't play as well and took a lot of hero shots in the finals, but it got you that far. So, like you said, man, is it just that they are a young team or do they need a point guard? I don't know if you fucking, like, blow the whole ship up, blow the whole operation up because you ran into a better team, or if you notice that's a glaring need that you need to address. Like, maybe the backup point guard should be a playmaker, but just to get rid of Marcus Smart and throw him in the bushes, like I see a lot of people doing, just because they couldn't, you know, get offense going. Like, they were running the same fucking plays that they ran in the other rounds, whatever. Like, I just saw some shots were being missed, and then Tatum and Brown were forcing a lot of bad shots. That's not Marcus Smart. He was doing the same shit he'd been doing. Like, sometimes you just run into a better team. Like, that's just it, you know? I don't know how that works going forward. I don't know how you can, you know, get this great playmaker when you're going to be paying these two guys. If you're going to, you know, in D roll with them. I know Spencer talk about them trying to maybe acquire Brad Beal. I think Bon and I talked about that last week, and obviously got cut, but, you know, I'd roll with this fucking squad another year. I hope Al has some more in the tank. Yeah. Good season.
Well, let me say this real quick. Brad Stevens said on his first year in his new job, I just try to keep learning. I have a lot of great people in our front office that make life easy on me. I'd be lost without them. And he also goes, I think we need a little more playmaking. We're at our best when we play with pace and whip the ball around the court. We played a little slow in that last series. There's no doubt that the more guys who can make a play, the better. So it sounds like, yeah, they definitely want to, you know, definitely get some more playmaking on the team. So,
yeah, that's kind of a vague comment. Like, what does that mean, though?
I think he, you know, wants somebody that can make a play with the ball in their hands.
So, you're going to go out and get a point guard. I don't know whether you draft him or in free agency. And now that means that's going to be less time with the ball in Tatum and Brown's hands, right? And everybody going to be cool with that, right?
Yeah, Tom, I'm just going by what he's saying.
Yeah, right.
I don't think it has to be a whole lot different than what they did this year, because that's kind of how, I mean, they played up-tempo this year. But yeah. I think he may have felt that they were a little stagnant offensively during this series and just need somebody that can make plays for others or for himself, you know. Now, not saying that person needs to be a starter or needs to come off the bench, but I kind of understand what he's saying, because the offense did bog down a lot.
Yeah. I think that came from, like, a lot of frustration. When the defense maybe didn't double and they just, like, made players make shots or take shots, rather. Like, it's a big difference between what they did in the first couple games and how they finished the series. And that, again, that was the adjustments that, you know, I spoke to. Occur. But again, you know, unless something monumental happens, I expect this team to be back. It's really hard to get salaries down and not change the whole complexity and the identity of your team. And, you know, given the success that they had this year, like, yeah, this team is so young, like you said, they deserve to run that back and see, you know, what they can do. And I'll be interested to see what they can do against teams that they played in the playoffs that were hurt, like Milwaukee and Miami for that matter, but especially Milwaukee. Like, they went 7 games and they had their second best score, young, and they're defending champs. Like, I'm sure they want some get back next year. I definitely would. And we'll see. All right. Anything else in the league? I guess the draft.
Yeah, it's tomorrow night.
All right, we should go number one, or any other tidbits you want to drop?
I don't really know what's going on with the draft this year. This is one of those years where could be a lot of surprises. I know a lot of people think that the draft kind of starts at number 4 this year. I think it's pretty settled that the top 3 players are going to be Jabari Smith, Chet Holmgren, and Paolo Banchero. I don't know what order that's going to happen. I think the odds on favorite to go number 1 right now is Jabari Smith. And then probably Chet Holmgren goes number 2, and then Banchero goes number 3. And then after that, man, I don't know what's going to happen. You know? I really don't. So Sacramento's got 4, you know. Do they go Jay Navi? Do they trade the pick? I think that's pretty much going to be the intrigue right there. And I think there could be a lot of potential trades. Like, I know it's been rumored that Washington may be willing to trade 10 to possibly move up, because I know they like Jay Navi. A lot of teams like Jay Navi, so. We'll see what happens, you know, but I'm not 100% sure. If they gave up 10 Kuzma, I don't know exactly what it's going to take to move up to 4. But if they did that, like, you know, again, 10, Kuzma, something else, to move up and get Jaden Ivey, I like that. I like him a lot as a player. I think he definitely solves your point guard position for the next decade. Yeah, I would like it. I don't know if it's going to happen because I know there are a lot of teams that that want to move up there. But we'll see what happens. I know they definitely want to bring in a point guard. So I don't know if that means a veteran, but I know they definitely want to bring one in. So
okay.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man. Looking forward to it.
And what's your opinion on all this could be moving a Brad Beal?
I'm not sure what to make of it. I've been hearing that for years. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah. It's just hard for me to believe that he would miss out on this epic payday to go to another team.
Yeah.
Seems really connected to the city. I know he just donated and refurbished some basketball courts like less than a mile from my house this past week. Had a big, you know, ribbon cutting ceremony. And it seems like he's really settled down here in D.C., man. Yeah, just like you said, I believe when I see it. It's hard to wrap my mind around that right now. But you never knows, never know what these guys have in their heads, especially, you know, their fans, just like we are, watching the finals and just picturing having that title when it's the only thing that, you know, you've been missing in your career. How much money can I spend? You know, guys have thoughts like that in the moment and then, you know, come to their senses and say, yeah, it's a big payday. What the fuck am I thinking?
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see. All right. I don't have anything on the draft. Anything else basketball wise?
Nope.
All right. Well, to end the series, this section, Brittany Griner is still in jail in Russia, and yep. Yeah. How long has she been there now?
Man, she's been there a minute. I was still at my former employer.
Sheesh.
When she, yeah. We were talking about it back then, so.
Ridiculous,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Free, man. Free that girl, man.
Yep.
All right, let's move on to the NFL. And, man. Tough day for Ravens Nation, man. Tough day for the league. Tough day for fans of football. This generation, last generation, man. Just rough. Two passings. Jalen Ferguson and Tony Siragusa.
Yep.
And personally, man, I was looking forward to see Tony Siragusa get older and older and become like this generation's Art Donovan.
Mm-hmm.
Go on, you know, radio shows and talk shows when you get real old and curse people out and call quarterbacks pussies. And we were robbed of that, man. 55 years old. Way too old.
Man. Yeah, man. I actually had a chance to meet Goose. Man, this was some years ago, dog. This was back in my USA Today days, like overnight days. Mm-hmm. Back when I used to hit up Ben Chili Bowl every once in a while when I was done with my shift. Real late. Not a whole lot of place to eat in the city.
Not and, Ben Chili Bowl, right?
Not Ben way before Hansel. Yeah. Yeah, this is way before, you know, everything that was going on U Street. Like, this is back to early 2000s, so
yeah.
That's how D.C. was back then. And every once in a while, I used to hit my man Ralph up because he worked downtown, and he was getting off around the same time. So I would hit him up every once in a while, like, you trying to meet down Ben. So one night we met down there, and Goose was coming out. and said what's up to him. Hey guys, what's going on? And man, we sitting there, stood outside, rapped to the dude for like 20 minutes, you know, just rapping. He was asking us what's going on in the city, what we did and all this stuff, and real cool dude, man. Took pictures and all that stuff, man. And you know, when you're involved in journalism, you meet a lot of people that you know saw playing growing up, and you know, you get to kind of know some people on a certain level, and a lot of times they do disappoint you. But that was one of those instances where absolutely not, he was the same guy like he was on television. He was that same dude in real life, man. And yeah, I was just real sad to hear that, man. And only 55 years old. That's rough, man. That's rough. I mean, he was just really good at what he did. Yeah, just playing football, then afterwards with his broadcasting career, just being on the field and just, you know, providing just that point of view from, you know, from the lineman. He was great at it. And like you said, he could have been this generation's Art Donovan, man. But just sad to hear about his passing, him and Jalen Ferguson, man, to be that young and to pass on the way that he did. You know, it's just tough, man.
Yeah. I think Goose in particular, man, we talked about this when DMX passed, man. There's very few people that always seem to be their authentic self, and that's good enough for everybody else around them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Goose was always Goose, like, no matter whether he was on the field, you know, playing a goon role on a motherfucking TV show, on the radio, like, he was always that person. People loved him for it. You know? Not an ounce of fake or trying to fit in, you know, like, it's just, he comes as he is, and whether you, and either you accept it or you don't, and people, you know, usually accepted it, man. So, yeah, man, just, it's real sad.
Yeah.
And for Jalen Ferguson, man, 27?
Yeah.
Jesus, man, like, I think he had a few kids too, man. Not a lot of details with their passing. And somebody at work was asking me, and I was like, hey man, like, this is the one good thing that came out of Schefter jumping the gun with Haskins a couple months ago, man. Like, that has scared these fucking journalists, and rightfully so, off from you know, jumping out there real quick and giving their two cents about what could have happened and, you know, what they think, and you know, throwing their conjecture in there, man. Like, let these people's souls rest for a minute before you start, you know, saying what they should have done and what they could have done to prevent this, man. You know, it's just a fucking life. So if there's anything that you could draw positive from that experience, is that we don't have to like go through it when things like this happen soon thereafter. So rest in peace to those brothers. Yeah, prayers to their family and friends. And yeah, everybody, take care of yourselves, man. Get to the ones at, around you, family and friends, likewise, man. And you know, just help each other out, y'all.
Yep.
All right. Might want to sit back and make yourself a mint julep for this next section, KB. Because your man Rusty Harden got a job ahead of him, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's in the middle of a job, you know. Hey, is Rusty Harden the he bitch version of Gloria Allred, young?
Okay, all right.
Is that fair?
Okay, I'll go with it.
I mean, every time a toxic athlete pops up, young, he's, you know, right in the middle of it, you know, with his motherfucking Captain Kangaroo suit on, young.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he defended himself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime some skank wants some bread, young, she's there, so.
Yeah.
You know.
Damn, some skank. Sheesh.
Have you ever seen Rusty and Glory in the same place, young? Could this be a case of Peter Griffin putting on that fat suit and being was he Michael Michael Moria?
Was he?
Yeah, he put the fat suit on. Well, the fatter suit on, and he became Michael Moore. Yeah.
Okay. I know you may not still look at South Park, but Stan's father put on a wig and became Lloyd. So.
Oh yeah.
Man.
Okay.
Mm. That's all. That's all he had to do. You know, just put on one wig, and everybody just thought he was Lloyd. Man.
Mm. Maybe Rusty putting on a little bit of blush.
Mm.
Some earrings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Deshaun has resolved what? How many cases out of how many?
Is it 20 of them?
20 out of 24?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about this on group text. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he used his whole signing bonus to pay off these 20 women. Sign bonus was $45 million. Seems like a lot of money. It is a lot of money, but when you are due $230 million guaranteed over the course of your contract, dropping 45 to get back on the field to play to get the rest of the 230. I think most people would do that rather than fight it.
Well, it that is if they don't drop the hammer on them.
Who?
The NFL. They still haven't ruled about what he's going to be allowed to do this year.
Right. Okay. So, what I heard earlier, which I didn't know, was that when Cleveland constructed this contract, don't quote me because I just heard it on, it was either Fox or ESPN, but when Cleveland constructed this contract for him, his lowest amount of money was made in year one. It was considerably lower. It was like between $1 million and like five, something like that. So over the course of a $230 million contract, that's not even back heavy. That's every year but first year heavy, which would be indicative of them anticipating that he might not play some, if not at all this year, which wouldn't affect his money as much as it would if it was more evenly distributed. Does that make sense?
Say it one more time.
He's not making nothing but $1 to $5 million out of $230 million in the first year, and maybe that's because they anticipated him getting suspended.
Okay.
So if that's the case, then hey, like, they knew what they were getting into. I wouldn't feel as bad for them. Like, they weren't blindsided. They knew exactly, you know, what they had in front of them. Like, he hadn't been suspended yet. Everybody saying, well, he sat out a whole year last year. That wasn't their doing. And this is what I talked about ad nauseum last year. Like, until they give their fucking verdict and they decide whether or not and how long to suspend or whatever, that shit is still over his head.
Mm-hmm.
And if Cleveland, you know, talked to his agents and his team about this being a possibility, you know, not just fucking ignoring the elephant in the room and saying, okay, well, we're in this long term, so what we're going to do is get his, like, you know, give the least amount of money to you on the top end or whatever, just in case something does come down from the league, so it won't affect you as much financially. So, if that is indeed true, and he's making, you know, that considerably, like, less money in that first year, then I think that, you know, is the ultimate sign that, you know, this is what they were thinking the whole time. But yeah, selling 20 cases is a lot, but it only takes one to go wrong get out to the media and possibly ruin your career. Because right now, all that shit is, like, sealed or whatever, so people don't know. It's just, like, you know, those rumors and some of the stories that we've heard second and third hand. But if he goes to a trial and this shit is, like, you know, broadcast and some horrific details get out, man, like, this can really go left. And I just don't know if it was really worth it, man, like, which is why, you know, as great as a fucking player he is, and much as I've admire his career thus far, man, like, I didn't want the Giants to do have nothing to do with him, man, because it's just too much uncertainty, you know. And here we are, you know, camp about to start, about to be July, whatever, and we still have a lot of uncertainty here, man. I think a lot of people are taking those 20 resolved cases as a win, but I'm looking at the other four like this can go either way.
Yeah.
And maybe those four cases are still up in there because they tried to solve them. They were like, nah, man, we want to flesh this out through the legal system. So I don't know. I don't think we know a whole lot more than we did last week. And guess we're still on deck and waiting, man.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's the difference between Deshaun Watson, Daniel Snyder, and Vince McMahon?
What's the difference?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Deshaun paid more settlement money.
Yeah.
Okay. One more. What's the difference between Daniel Snyder and Vince McMahon?
What's that?
Vince doesn't get concession money.
Okay.
Like they mm-hmm. move dirt bags.
Yeah, I get it.
But he owns like the stadium.
Yeah, I understand.
Charges like $10 for a hot dog.
Yeah. $15 for a beer.
Yeah.
Roger Goodell said.
Or half smoke.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the glizzy cash, y'all.
Right. Roger Goodell let it be known. Yeah, I do not have the authority to kick that man out of the NFL. So he pretty much said that to all the fans. Nah, I mean, he was asked, so he said it. So he said it kind of like, yeah, y'all can stop asking me that shit. Cause,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, stop asking me your shit. Yeah. Like, it's not my job to do
it's
that,
not my
man.
Job. Now, he could call now. Of course, it would take 24 of the other owners to kick him out. Now, he could call for a vote, but he can't unilaterally just kick him out.
Yeah.
But he could call for the vote to do it.
Yeah. And commissioner has a lot of power, but people tend to forget that he works for the owners.
Right.
And just my gut feeling is that a lot of these owners probably have some skeletons in their closet, and they don't want to open Pandora's box because somebody like Daniel Snyder might go full Wesley Snipes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And say, if I'm going down, I'm taking y'all niggas with me.
Well, it's not like there's not a lot of owners who don't have skeletons in their closet now, so.
Huh?
Robert Kraft was, pretty much doing what Deshaun Watson.
That's what I'm saying, you know, like, you
he
know.
He did the shit, like, yeah.
He did it, yeah. Yeah, but that's my point, though. That's why, you know, people are like, well, this is selling the league. Why won't the owners take action, whatever? Like, if the commissioner can't do anything, why can't the owners, whatever? Like, because them niggas dirtbags, too, you know? It's just he did a way more poor job concealing his shit, you know? A little more sloppy, but yeah. We'll see. Gronk retired today for the second
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he's gone this time, or he'll wait until December to come back.
It's always possible. I think he's done, but it's always possible. We'll see after a while, your knees say it's enough. You know.
Yeah. And he was looking slow out there late last season too. Well, he's never been fast, Sean, but he looked like he was laboring sometimes, Sean. So we'll see if he returns to WWE. Seems like he had some moderate success there over the past year. Another former NFL player, Pat McAfee, has really put his mark on the business. Seems like he has a second career there after football. So we'll see if Gronk comes back. I think he wrestled on WrestleMania a few years ago before he came back to the league. So no job shortage for Gronk anytime soon. All right, here's something funny Bob and I talked about last week, and he was completely oblivious to this, and I was too before. I just happened to read it right before we went on. Had you heard about Bruce Smith going off on Tony Baselli?
Nah, I hadn't heard that.
This nigga wrote a fucking essay on his socials. I think it was like Instagram. So it took him like motherfucking 3 posts and shit to get all of it out, you know. But he pretty much is going off about Tony Baselli. I guess he's being nominated for Hall of Fame, or if he hasn't gotten in, getting a Hall of Fame nomination because he outplayed him in 96 in the fucking playoff game, man.
Hold on. What is Bruce Smith smoking now? What?
Brucey Bruce mad because Tony Baselli is getting a Hall of Fame consideration because he claims it all came from the game where he outplayed him, where Bruce just had a bad game in 96.
So Bruce Smith is mad at Tony Baselli because of this?
He's mad at somebody, yeah.
So who did he take his anger out on?
Instagram.
Okay, all right.
But he was, you know, talking about Baselli's achievements or lack thereof.
Yeah, Tony Baselli isn't a Hall of Famer.
So I was laughing until he's like, yeah, he only played 7 seasons. And I said, hold on now. Like, you know, Bruce might be hating, but it might be a little bit of truth to this young 7 seasons. Like, did this nigga have a fucking Gale Sayers career, young? Like, 7 seasons?
Nah, he didn't.
So then, you know, Bob and I were talking about, like, maybe it was just the fucking quality, kind of like, you know, Terrell Davis, Jim Brown, again, you know, Gale Sayers. Like, you know, did he, like, do so much in those 7 seasons that it was undeniable? Or is this some truth to what Bruce is saying? Like, you know, he had one good game. Or, like, you know, a string of good playoff games or whatever that, you know, really propelled him. And people, like, refer to that rather than the meat and potatoes of his career. Because, like, you know, other than the offensive linemen that have flourished here in Washington, and that's because, you know, I live here or whatever, man. You know, the gold standard pretty much in the 80s and the 90s were people like, you know, Anthony Munoz, Orlando Pace, and then you heard a lot of Tony Baselli too. Like, that was just one of the best linemen, and it was like, you know, that's kind of just what it was. But then when you go into these numbers and, you know, these, the devil's in the details, man. 7 seasons for an offensive lineman, man, you got, like, you better be pancaking niggas on every play.
Now, he was a really, really good player. I always thought his career was too short. I mean, he did have accolades during that career. And he was definitely someone you considered, like, just, you know, having the ultimate pedigree at that position. I mean, somebody that was, you know, first-team All-American in college. I think he was 3-time All-American in college. Then gets to the NFL. I'm looking up his 3-time first team All-Pro, 5 times Pro Bowl, All-Rookie Team, Being that all-decade team, the saying you want the best players over a 10-year period, that was always one of the things I used with Art Monk. When people say that he wasn't, I'm like, well, nigga, he was on the all-decades team, and everybody else on the all-decade team is in the fucking Hall of Fame, so why not him? So Tony Boselli was on that. To me, I always thought his career was too short, but yeah, he was pretty good during that short career. But then again, to me, I just didn't think that, you know, he ultimately did enough. But like I said, he was a great player, you know, during his career, but just too short.
Okay. All right. That's all I have from the NFL, man. Got anything else? You good?
Nope.
All right. Good. The next installment of Final Destination is going to be in the Mets bullpen. Every pitcher seems to want to get hurt. It's the Mets, y'all. All right, let's move on to our second segment, entertainment. And KB, you're going to talk about this Obi-Wan. I'm up to last week's episode. So I've seen everything except the finale was today, right?
Yep.
All right, so I'm going to put, you know.
You're going to ear muffle
pods down.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, text me when you're done.
Yeah, I ain't gonna be long, man. Yeah, I thought it was a fantastic episode. If you are even a casual fan of Star Wars, you definitely owe it to yourself to watch this episode. And I don't know if there's gonna be a season two, but even if there isn't, I think they just did a fantastic job with this. This easily could have been a movie, but I think they served the story right by fleshing it out and allowing it to be, you know, 6-hour-long episodes. I thought even McGregor did his best work as Obi-Wan up to this point. I think Hayden Christensen did a fantastic job as Darth Vader. I kind of knew the scene was coming up when Obi-Wan kind of got out on him a little bit and slashed his helmet, because that's where that scar came from, that we saw when he finally took his helmet off in Return of the Jedi. So I knew kind of what was going to happen during the fight between them two, but I didn't know Obi-Wan was going to get out on him like that. Like, he could have killed him. I don't know why he didn't, but then, of course, you know, if he does, there's nothing after that. So, of course, he had to let him live. But I guess he showed mercy on him. I get it. But that fight between them two, just the whole episode in general, how they just kind of brought everything together, I thought they did a great job with it. I know people have taken shots at the show so far this season. I completely understand a lot of the criticisms. But, yeah, this episode to me, reminded me a lot of Rogue One, in that this is Star Wars at its best. And, yeah, a couple of head tilt moments too, man. Yeah, I just think that they did a really good job with it, and, kudos to them. I would love a season two. I don't know how much more, Darth Vader we need into this story, because it kind of seems like at the end, the Emperor was kind of like, bro, you were focusing way too much on Obi-Wan Kenobi. And Darth was like, nah, we're good. I'm not sweating that nigga no more. Now, we know that's not true. But if they were to do another season, will we still see Darth kind of with that one eye, Obi-Wan? I don't know. There's a lot of different ways they could take another season. It doesn't necessarily have to focus on that rivalry between them two. But, Little Ice Cube, I cannot think of that dude's name. I was O'Shea Jackson Jr., I think. Yeah, his character is going to come back in some way, shape, or form in the Star Wars universe. Yeah, that little conversation we had with that last one he had with Obi-Wan kind of gave that away. So, about him being a leader. So, I don't know if they're going to make a show about this nigga. I don't know. I know we joked a couple weeks ago about, what if niggas just start writing Star Wars scripts without knowing nothing about Star Wars? But, yeah, I don't know exactly, you know, where we would go with the story with him. But, hey, man, he got a check. Good for that dude. Reva's story, how that kind of came together at the end. I don't know if that's the last time we'll see her. But, yeah, we knew she wasn't going to do nothing with Luke, but there was still a little suspense, what was going to happen with her character. So I don't know if that's the last time we'll see. It wouldn't surprise me if it wasn't, but there's still 10 years to go between, I think, the events of this show and the events in, I think it's Star Wars, is it Rebels or... So I think they could definitely do another season, kind of squeeze another season in them, but they haven't announced anything as of yet. I wouldn't be mad about it if they brought it back for another season, especially without the end of it, man. So, yeah, as far as this episode, yeah, 9 out of 10, man. I think they did a fantastic job, knocked it out of the park. So now I have to.
No, I'm back. I'm back.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So I'll be watching that either tomorrow or Friday because something's happening. Oh yeah, I just found out that third season of Umbrella Academy dropped.
Okay. Today. Mm-hmm.
So, been curious to see what they're going to do with T.S. Eliot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, man, I'm really, really curious to see this finale because one of my favorite characters now is that third sister, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. All the hate she was getting, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's Bay, yeah. Hey, man. If I was a Jedi, like me, her, and Lil Yoda Dog, man, LYD, mm-hmm. we could mm-hmm. be the the nuclear family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alright, so, hey, KB, I got a beef with you, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You supposed to be the almighty knowing of all things Martin Young, and you ain't let me know that the damn reunion drop.
Yeah, man. I don't got BET Plus, so.
Nigga, you got Home and Garden Plus and every other fucking channel, you know? You got BET?
Nah, I don't got BET Plus, man. I'm sure that's going to change sooner or later, but yeah, as of right now, I don't have it, you know, so.
Well, I don't either, but I do have a Fire Stick, so.
Yeah. You have a better chance of watching than I do.
Okay. I didn't even know it was a thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like.
Nah. We talked about it, that they came back together and they was filming it. Not that it, you mean, officially dropped. Like, yeah. It was available. Right.
Yeah.
Once I saw it was on BET Plus, I was like, I ain't seeing this shit, so.
Yeah, so definitely want to check that out. I feel like it's been more than a week that you were gone. That's how you bought the fucking drama on Marriage Boot Camp?
Mm-mm.
I had to, Kenny. Bruh. Alright, so you already know.
This is a long ass season of this show, by the way.
It is. I guess it was. So. This shit, you know, the premise of this show is, like, to have couples that are struggling, you know, not necessarily, they don't have to be married anymore, like, because that kind of spreads the pool too shallow or whatever. But couples that are having problems, you know, go through some activities in a secluded place or whatever with other couples or whatever, and challenges and what have you, and it all culminates with them on the last night. Decide whether or not they want to give a ring to their significant other, signifying they want to, you know, try to work things out, and things have gotten better over the course of this, you know, these couple weeks that they've been in this house, this person. But right before they make that decision, the night before, everyone has to take a lie detector test and ask, like, their partners their burning questions. Most of the time, it's like, you know, are you cheating on me? Do you think you can be with me? Da, da, da. You want to have kids? You want to get married? Da, da, da. All that, right? So, in getting ready for this lie detector test, they went to everyone's room and set up these stations, right? All right, Kenny, they go to one particular room to set up their lie detector test, and they find a bag of coke.
Mm.
I ain't tell you this?
Mm-mm.
Man.
No, I remember coke talk. Yeah.
Man. So.
And I already got the prime suspect.
So, since you don't watch, I'm going to give you these couples, Sean, and you let me know who you think got the white girl. All
right. So, I'm just going to, well, I ain't going to say who it is, but I got two people in mind. And I'm going to feel bad if it's neither one of them, but go ahead.
So, first of all, you got Rich Dollars and Mariah Lynn.
Mm-hmm. Ding, ding, ding.
No, like, you know. No pun intended, but, you know, that is the white girl on the show.
Yeah. So, if I had a drug-sniffing dog, you know, he'd be, that tail be wagging right by now, but go ahead.
Yeah.
that tail be going crazy right about now, yeah. Mm-hmm. So cartwheels, all kinds of shit, but go ahead, you know.
Rolling like a cuckoo clock.
Yeah. First thing he said, Rich Dollars. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Rich do be having cheese eyes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sweating profusely, but go ahead.
He get Puerto Rican greasy. All right, so you got Rich.
That's what let me know. I never said Puerto Rican greasy. That wasn't me, but go ahead. Never said that. That was not I.
Hey, let me tell you one thing. Some of my favorite fucking shit on this podcast is when you and Bobby getting selectively objective about, like, you know, shit that can be deemed maybe a little bit offensive or whatever. Like Puerto Rican greasy is the line tonight, you know? Yeah. I just want to make sure I'm hip, you know?
Yeah, I never said that. Just want to let me know. Okay. I never said that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So, you got Rich Mariah. Mm-hmm. You got A1 and Lyrica.
Mm-hmm.
You got Gangsta Boo and Emmett. The white boy who look like CM Punk. And you got K Michelle.
They're tail wagging again.
K Michelle. And her dude, he's a dentist. Or a surgeon. So maybe he has, you know, access to drugs. I don't know.
Hey, by the way, real quick, I don't mean to sidetrack what you're saying. Yeah? The reason I brought up that drug-sniffing dog is when I went to Nashville, you know. The first time I ever saw a drug sniffing dog at BWI, and everybody had to go down, like, walk down this straight line with somebody. You ain't had to be with them, but two people had to walk down a straight line, and, like, the dog would make a little motion or something like that if they should pull you out. Man, nigga, I ain't never been so scared, and I never been so innocent in my life, but I'm like, I know this dog gonna do something, you know?
Kenny. I'm glad you reminded me, young. Same thing happened when I went to Vegas. And I may have or may not have taken a hit from a vape pen, young. And, because I wanted to sleep good on that flight, allegedly. And I said, I wonder if this dog can...
Nigga, I'm sitting here wondering how far back can this dog smell the weed? I'm like, if this dog got like a 2-week memory going back, you know, he can smell it going back 2 weeks. Oh, yeah, I'm cooked, you know?
Everybody was walking so freely and gently in front of me, y'all. Motherfucker off the frame like, good dog. Go back out there again, y'all.
Yeah.
I looked at that dog looked at me, y'all. I said, we can be friends, y'all. We yeah. can be friends, young.
Yeah,
that dog wasn't thinking about me, young.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. Yeah, I was actually surprised, and I ain't did shit, nothing. I'm like, hmm.
Yeah. Well, it's something else being a black man.
Ain't it, young?
You're just I ain't done wrong, but I'm going to jail, young.
I'm going to get picked out of this line, young. This racist ass dog about to make some little motion. They're going to pick me out and find something to like keep me here, you know? That's how we be thinking for no fucking reason.
Nigga, all kinds of shit running through my head. I'm like, God damn, you know? So it's officially less than 24 hours, so I can't get my deposit back from my hotel room.
Yeah. We've already gone through all kinds of doomsday scenarios. Because the worst shit is going to happen to us here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, George Bush, all them buttons,
yeah.
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 Yeah. We really do need therapy. Yeah.
We do. We do. We all got PTSD, you know, no bullshit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, my bad, then. We was talking about
K.
Michelle
that was
cocaine.
Yeah. That was neat, because right. I forgot yeah. all about being scared of that fucking dog, yeah.
Mm-hmm. First time I seen it. I seen it before down in Miami, and I was like, okay, I get it. But yeah, never seen it here though.
That was definitely the first time I saw it, and I'm thinking that they did that because they switched up everything at DCA now. Like everything you check in on the first floor now, and like all shit's different. So I'm like, okay, who's the fucking brainiac that thought about putting these dogs down here? Because yeah, that wasn't a thing upstairs at all.
Yep.
All right, so so K. Michelle and Caston, that's the last couple.
Mm-hmm.
So, which couple do you say had the coke, and which person from that couple?
To me, like I immediately thought of Rich Dollins and K. Michelle.
Hmm.
Two people I immediately thought of were Rich Dollins and K. Michelle.
Swing and a miss.
Okay.
Swing and a miss.
All right. Apologize to them. All right.
It was Gangsta Boy and Emmett,
yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Kind of obvious, but okay. Yeah. Gangsta Boy and the white boy. Yeah.
And it wasn't the white boy.
Oh, man.
Yeah, bro.
I mean, yeah, she in 3-6 Mafia.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dog. I felt like motherfucking Bobby Ewing came with that shower,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't see that one coming. But here's the beauty of not seeing things in real time. I was made aware of this before I actually saw the episode because I have them like, I haven't recorded on my DVR. So I got to it like a week or two later, right? So watching. I was like two episodes behind, so watching those two episodes leading up to it, young, knowing that she had the coke, young, I was like, dog, it was so obvious, and her behavior was so fucking sporadic, bro. When, like, you know, they finish a challenge and shit, and you know, they'd win, and she'd be all happy, and 2 seconds later, like, fuck you, nigga! And I'm like, yep, she cokey, young.
Hmm.
She's real cokey the whole time. Yeah, mm-hmm. She denied up until, you know, they got kicked out the motherfucking house, Sean.
Never admitted it, so, okay.
Never admitted it, and you can just see, like, poor Emmett, you know, he's sitting like, yeah, I know, bro, I know, like, we just gotta, but you don't believe me? Hold up, fuck them, this is us, you don't believe me? Like, yeah, bro, like, you don't sound like it. I'm like, because you lying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you could tell right away, as soon as they told him to, like, leave the room so they could step or whatever, like, she was like, I left my bracelets there. I don't want nobody touching my jewelry. Real cokey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Real guilty.
Mm-hmm.
She forgot to grab that bag of coke, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. Ironically enough, though, her... Emmett, K. Michelle, and Caston are the only ones still together, though, because, you know, that motherfucker, that last screen before the end things, they were like, yeah, well, A1 Lurk ain't together, and neither are Rich and I'm Mariah.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Yeah. This nigga A1, I told you like before, he cheated 9 times, right?
Yep.
So, whole time I was thinking like, man, she gonna carry the fuck out this nigga when, you know, they had that fucking ring ceremony and shit. And to my surprise, she was like, I'm not going to put the ring on, but I'm going to keep it. And I just want you to do better. And, you know, we can see where things go. Like, that was reasonable, you know. This thing called an attitude. And I'm like, man, that's fucked up. I'm like, what? Like, you had no fucking lifeline before you even came here. And in 2 weeks, you know, like, she gave you some fucking hope, young. But he called an attitude. And, yep, they broke up as soon as they went back home, man. So,
yeah.
Sometimes you gotta know when to take the small fish, yeah.
Yep. That's too bad.
Yeah. Alright. What else do we have here? Man, you haven't seen Top Gun yet, KB.
I have not.
And buying here, man. So, I haven't seen it in the theater yet. But I did get my hands on, you know, a viewing opportunity. I'm upset I didn't see this for the first time in a theater. And not because of the last two action sequences that were fucking incredible. Like, it wasn't CGI. They used, like, real, like, you know, footage from planes and shit. From fighter jets and whatever. So that shit made it look that much more real and awesome and shit. Not even mad I didn't see that in the theater, you know? I'm mad I didn't see the first fucking scene in theater, KB.
Damn.
Off top, young. They start playing that motherfucking Kenny Loggins, young.
Mm-hmm.
Off the break, young. I said, man, if I was in the fucking theater, man, I'd be like motherfucking Jerry Lane and George dancing to that motherfucking Melrose on place theme, young. I would have been grooving like shit.
Yeah.
That's my joint, young. So, I'm upset that I didn't see that. But also, this sealed my deal. Yeah, I've been thinking about it for a little while, young. It's a real important decision in my life, Kenny, but I think I finally found my new go-to actor. I'm a Sice. Passing the legacy along from my man Nick Cage, young. It's not Tom. It's Miles Teller, young. That's my man, young.
Okay. Alright.
Miles Teller, that's my man now, young. It's a done deal. Like, I've slowly become a fan of his watching The Offer on Paramount Plus. He plays Al Ruddy on there, the person, you know, producer of the Godfather trilogy. And just like know some and a couple things like lately. And I was like, man, I just like his motherfucking swag, young. I like his fucking acting. He's like, he has that fucking conviction. I feel like something's on the line and shit every time. He feels desperate or whatever, man. I'm like, you know what, man? It's easy to go for an A-list actor everybody loves and shit, man. But he's a sleeper, young. So, that's my man, young. Miles Teller.
He's in that movie with, what's that shit called? Is it The Offer?
The Offer, yeah. It's a TV show, though.
Okay, yeah. But yeah. Also, hold on. The Offer, is he in something with Chris Hemsworth right now? Spiderhead.
Yeah, Spiderhead. So, I haven't seen that, young, but I saw his name in, you know, the Lenny notes. Now I started smiling, young. I was like, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't looked at that yet. I don't know what it's about, but Netflix keeps saying, like, yeah. Hey, you need to watch this, yeah.
Yeah, but he's in a few things. You know, he was in that what's the name trilogy, the fake ass cat in his joint with the dudes, Divergent.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, he was in that shit too. And I was like, you know what? I've seen him a couple places, you know? I seen him around, yeah. Seen him around.
Yeah, he wasn't bad in that joint War Dogs. Did you see that?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Jonah Hill wasn't bad in that either.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. But that was the first time I kind of was like, hey, you're not bad.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yep. So, office is open, you know. I'm up for the Miles Teller business, Sean.
Right.
All right. But yeah, great movie. They kind of got a nemesis this time, which was like my reason for not seeing the first one for so long and shit, man. Like, it wasn't anybody who Tom was necessarily up against or whatever, but, you know, you kind of get the premise of that, you know, carrying through to this film as well, man. So, I wasn't mad about it. And yeah, man, that dynamic between Tom and Miles, who plays Goose's son, whatever, man. Yeah, man. Some good big screen magic. So, if you ever seen it, you're probably the only person who hasn't seen it, because that shit's making a shitload of money.
It is.
Or whatever. I think it just crossed like 900.
Yep.
I know Bar had been like confident about this shit, but I just wasn't sure just because of fucking COVID or whatever, man. But now I have no doubt that Avatar is going to smash all these records, Sean. Like,
yeah, there's no doubt about it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just.
Yeah. Movie theaters ain't going nowhere, dog. You just can't replicate. Like what you said, like even that first scene, that's how I hear you describe it. You just can't replicate that at home, man. So,
nah, you can't, bro.
Yeah.
You can't.
I've seen this shit is, people are already saying this is like an all-time great film. And I'm looking at this IMDb page. It's already with 43rd on IMDb's top 50 movies of all time list.
What, Top Gun?
Yeah, yeah. It's rated by IMDb users. It's 43rd.
Hey, man, it's just something about the way it took a simple story, man, but all the performances just made you feel invested, though. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, man, like, someone who just watching this for the first time, you know, not having, you know, any prior knowledge of the other film, you can get it. But then people who have seen the other film, they can get it. And then if you just grew up in that era, man, like, just the fucking music, dog, like, the nostalgia, it can grab you, you know? Like not completely related, but yesterday I was watching Ninth Wonder on Twitch, and he played like an 80s set. And, like, the nigga was literally a machine yesterday. I was at work. He started this fucking set. I went home, ran 4 miles, came back inside, meal prep, sat down to eat dinner, and he was still fucking playing. And he was like, forgive me, y'all. Like, I just came back from Disney, and I got off this, some ride he was talking about. Like, he's like, it might be the best ride at Disney, whatever. And, like, as soon as you get off the fucking shell or whatever, they start playing Tears for Fears. And he was like, man, like, that just brought back every fucking, like, 80s pop song memory from my childhood or whatever. So, like, you know, I said, as soon as I get home, I'm going to start, you know, I'm going to play a set and start, you know, this 80s shit, because, like, that shit took me all the way back. That's what that film can do for you.
Damn.
You know, from scene one on, like, it just brings you all the way back to the first film. And really back to the 80s, they have a few flashbacks, whatever, you know, a couple of head tilts with Goose. And yeah, man, like, it's just a perfect summertime flick, man, 30 years later.
Well, just to let you know what people think of this movie, like I said, it's 43 on IMDb, but it's got a 8.5 rating. So it's tied with a number of other films. With an 8.5, this is a sample of some of those that also 8.5. Terminator 2, Judgment Day, Back to the Future, Psycho, The Lion King, Gladiator, American History X, The Usual Suspects, The Departed, The Prestige, and Casablanca, and it's right above it at 42, and it's 43. Like, but it's tied with all those movies with an 8.5 though. So. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I gotta see it again to see if, like, you know, there's, like, the replay value. Over the past 20 years, I don't think any film has had more replay value to me more than The Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whether I watch the 15 minutes, 20 minutes, or catch it in the middle and watch the rest of it, like, anytime I run across it, I have to at least sit there for a minute and you know, catch some Heath Ledger. So I'm not sure if it has that or whatever, because some films, young, have that I've loved or really liked, young, haven't stood up to the test of time like I thought they would. And KB, I know it might be, you might have a point of contention here, young, but Captain America Winter Soldier is one of those films, young.
You saying it hasn't stood up?
Nope.
Hmm.
That shit Reggie now, bro. Try watching that film, yeah. You like, oh yeah, I can skip this part. I can do without this. Oh yeah, that's cool. But it's, oh yeah, they had a nice fight right here, but it was. And I'm like, damn, young, this film, this doesn't feel as good as it felt before. It's because we've had countless other Marvel films where the action sequences were better, yeah.
That fight scene between Bucky and Cap, though, was pretty good. That first one they had in the streets.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, okay, it's just cool, right?
I mean, after you see niggas chop Thanos' head off, you know, like that. Like, eh. Hmm. 15 motherfuckers with superpowers fighting one person, you know, and he fighting them off, and they making you believe it, you know?
Yeah.
Two white men in the street fighting. I've seen that before. Not to say it's a bad movie, young, but I never thought that those fucking, like, action sequences would become regular. And they just kind of are to me anyway.
Okay.
But anyway, yep, definitely go out and see Top Gun. Trying to think of what else that I've seen. I think The Man That Fell to Earth wrapped last week, right?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, but that hopefully it did, because it kind of lost me. I'm kind of over him being weird and not knowing what the fuck is going on with his planet. Yeah, time has passed, so. It's something else I'm watching on Prime. Mind Over Murder on HBO Max. Unfortunately, it's a weekly docuseries. I think it comes on Sunday nights at like 10 o'clock, but it's about this small town in Nebraska where motherfuckers just be killing, you know? Like, killing people and getting away with it. Like, they murdered this grandmother. Like, that's the first episode. I thought that the whole series is going to be about, like, just the grandmother being murdered and, you know, trying to find the killers. But, like, apparently, a whole bunch of people in this fucking small-ass town, it's called Beatrice, Nebraska. Yeah, people just be killing it and getting away with it. And motherfuckers be acting like nothing happened. And then when somebody says something about it, it's almost like everybody looks at them like, you know, you're speaking about the family and shit. But when, you know, some of these motherfuckers, they got killed or, like, related to them and shit. So it's like, man, we want justice for our damn, you know, relatives or whatever, man. But it's real interesting to see, like, you know, these small town secrets. It's kind of like some fucking show you'll see on Lifetime and shit. But this is real life, bro. Like, dating back decades where people are getting away with murder in this small town. So I'm definitely intrigued. You know, I love some true crime docuseries shit, and this is the next one right here. I saw something else this weekend. I can't remember, but I'll if it jogs my memory, I'll come back to it later. All right. I don't have a BP headline sites of the week, but I have a couple classy awards. I think my one from last week was Michael B. Jordan and Lori Harvey, because everybody seems to be talking about this shit except them. Mm-hmm. Classy way to handle a breakup. I approve of it, you know, as opposed to Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. No. Mm-hmm. I think she was on the fucking Today Show like twice last week. Mm-hmm. 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 And yeah, Classy Award goes out to Lizzo. Yeah, she's been culturally sensitive. She found out that the word spaz now is insensitive. Mm-hmm. So she took it out of her song Girls, because people with cerebral palsy were feeling offended. So shout out to Lizzo. Classy move there. Mm-hmm. I don't think she's being soft like some people are saying, like, you know, everybody knows it's slang. No, some people took it offensive, and she took it out of the song. Good for her. Mm-hmm. Now, I hope people who criticizing her never go through Redman's discography, but...
yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that. This was the Redman joke. Okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right, KB, let's get to the...
See, Spaz to Redman is Hennessy to Tupac again?
Like he has cerebral palsy, huh?
Yeah.
All right, KB, let's get to the list. I mean, wake your ass up update of the week, man. All
right. The headline is, it's strictly business. Border Patrol officers were captured whipping Haitians near U.S.-Mexico border. Then someone created a coin to commercialize the controversial incident. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security is expected to make an announcement in the coming days, chastising Border Patrol agents who reined in Haitian migrants with rope last fall. The news comes as the U.S. Customs and Border Protection has launched an investigation into the manufacturing of a coin memorizing a photo of a white patrol officer on a horse chasing a Haitian migrant toting a rein in hand. The original image, captured by independent journalist Paul Raggi, sparked outrage in September. The border agents were trying to stop Haitian migrants from entering an encampment on the banks of the Rio Grande near the Acuna del Rio International Bridge in Del Rio, Texas. In that Rio, Texas. Is it big the way I pronounce those words? That's what got you.
Hey, that tongue we rolling.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to give the authentic shit here, so.
Yeah.
The controversial actions, also captured on video, led to an unresolved investigation by Border Protection. Civil rights and immigration advocates say it exemplifies the unfair treatment of Haitians who have suffered through devastating natural disasters and political unrest. Others compared the images to slave patrols. President Joe Biden called the images horrible and outrageous and vowed to punish those involved. Border Protection Assistant Commissioner Oris Miranda said any employee found selling the coins will face appropriate action. The agency's chief counsel also will send a cease and desist letter to any vendor who produces unauthorized challenge coins using one of CBP's trademark brands. Randy the End says May 28th, 1924, the coin reads on one side, yesterday's border is not today's border.
Oh my God, young.
Yeah, you will be returned, the rim of the coin says. According to the Miami Herald, 41 of the Conoco challenge coins were recently sold on eBay for $15.19 each, and images of yellow and black coasters showing a man on horseback with reins chasing a family of three also have surfaced. The seller, identified as Andy Christensen, has no plans to stop selling the coins and claim they were a popular item that's been flying off the shelf. It's strictly a business for me, he told NPR. At one point, interest in the coins drove the price up to nearly $500 each. The images depicted on this coin are offensive, insensitive, and run counter to the core values of CBP, Miranda said. This is not an official CBP coin. Tess Helgren, an attorney for the migrant Rachi, identified on the coin, called it a celebration and commodification of racist violence. The man, Mirage Joseph, has been since deported to Haiti and has filed a lawsuit against the U.S. government. On behalf of Mirage Joseph and the 15,000 Haitian asylum seekers who face cruelty and brutality in Del Rio, we continue to seek justice in court via Haitian Bridge Alliance v. Biden, Helgren said. Golene Joseph, founder of the Haitian Bridge Alliance, said they're profiting off the treatment of Haitians is outrageous and beyond inhumane. The fact that they've created merchandise depicting the likeness of people who suffer cruel and inhumane treatment should not be tolerated by DHS or the Biden administration, she said.
This coin craze is out of control, yeah.
Yep.
All right, man. Let me go from here, man. All right, let's go to some black excellence. My black excellence, last week it was to Jennifer Hudson. She won a Tony for being a producer of a play that won, completing her EGOT journey.
Who would have ever thought? Absolutely. Yeah, I forgot about all about that, man.
Who would have ever thought that she would be an EGOT winner, you know?
Did Simon Cowell say, like, she just didn't have it, would have took or something like that?
I don't remember, but that's that would be pretty good if somebody brought that back. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, it's quite a fucking achievement. Damn near impossible. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Even though John Legend got one too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, shout out to her. More black excellence. You know, this was ahead of Father's Day, so it's not the same, but 2 Chainz started a podcast with his son, man. 7-year-old son. It's called Me and Halo. I think that's all right.
Pretty good, man.
Yeah, man. Happy belated Father's Day to all the fathers out there, man. I know, like, when we were younger, a lot was made of, like, deadbeat dads or whatever, how dads weren't present. Like, you know, young dads who weren't ready to be dads. Like, not a lot of people's fathers who are older, whatever, but like young guys who had kids and just kind of like bailed on family, whatever, man. But I'm real proud to say, man, like, even though I'm older now and shit, man, all my friends who had kids, like young or whatever, man, like they've always been present in their children's life, man. I don't know any deadbeat dads, huh?
Yeah, me neither.
So, yeah, man, it's kind of cliche, man. So I just want to dispel that, man. All dudes I know, like, are great fathers, man.
Yep.
So, shout to them, shout to Ba, shout to y'all. I know, yeah, my other black excellence was fake Clay shooting and slipping into that damn shoot around. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That was this was pretty special.
It was. Like you said, with 10 minutes, he got to feel what it's like to be a real NBA player. You know?
Hey, man, you can bring a little sweat in 10 minutes. You
know? Yeah, no bullshit.
Yeah, so, shout out to him. They should let him on a float, you know?
Yeah. I mean.
And if we want to be technical here, you know, who was going to be more embarrassing at that parade, fake Clay or real Clay?
That's a good point. Because real Clay almost lost one of his rings, you know?
I've had that drunk stumble he did when he hit that girl, you know?
Yeah, that was bad, you know?
Dog.
Yeah.
It be feeling like you trying to like step over them worlds in Inception, young. Yeah. Try to catch your balance, young.
Yeah.
It feels like you running for a mile, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Like,
and he's younger than us, and you know, I mean, I don't know how long ago this you had that. You know, I ain't had that in a while, but. Yeah, man.
Yeah, I think my last time was in Costa Rica, yeah.
Yeah. But still.
Yeah.
So,
here's what I don't get, young. Like, maybe them niggas just ain't eat or whatever, man, but this happens way too often. Like, you know, Clay this year, we seen them niggas had to prop a motherfucking Tom Brady up like he was motherfucking Bernie, man.
Yeah, they had the Bernie Tom, yeah.
Bernie, we all know about Henny Braun.
Yeah, J.R. Smith.
J.R. Smith, Ron Tess. Like, dog, these are world-class athletes, young. And it's like they have, like, you know, half a ball of that brown, young. And these niggas is, like, sauce, young, full sauce.
Yeah.
Like, are they not eating before?
Well, Tone, at the same time, like, I think that if, you know, we were fortunate enough in our lives to be professional athletes and it was the day of the financial parade, they didn't just start drinking when they got there. Like, they've been drinking 2 days prior to that, all day. You wake up drinking. So, I get it.
Yeah.
It wasn't just that bottle, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Yeah,
nigga woke up drinking a Henny Colada, you know?
Yeah, basically, you know, so, yeah. Again, I can only imagine what it'd be like, you know? Like, if the entire city was coming out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You ain't waiting for somebody to hand you something.
Man. Nah. You got a stash, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. I did have a personal bottle of Remy I was passing around at graduation myself. You know?
Sure. Yeah.
But yeah, shout out to Clay, though, man. Like, as much as they talk about him not having any rhythm, young, like, he drive nailed that Michael Jackson joint, young.
Yeah, he got more rhythm than Justin Timberlake. I know that.
He's still back on Justin.
I'm just saying, like, I saw Justin Timberlake dancing on stage, and I saw Clay just, you know, doing the impromptu with Mike, you know what I'm saying, Billie Jean, real quick. And, yeah, Clay was a lot more smooth with his, you know, so.
Yeah. He also, like, he had the liquid courage and he had the all-important LaToya Jackson / what's my man?
Did he have a captain's hat on?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. If you see a nigga nowhere near a boat with a captain's hat on, yeah. Stay away, yeah. Huh? Or you might want to get close. It depends on what type of time you're trying to have. So.
And then he lost it,
yeah. Yeah. With his ring, yeah. Like, everybody stop, I just dropped my fucking championship ring. Oh, there it is, cool, we good. He went right back to dancing, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the dog. It's the LaToya / Ted Lange hat, you know. It mm-hmm. does it every time, you know. So yeah, that's on the Black Excellence. We got any outrage, KB?
See, man, I got right outraged down, man, because, I mean, people have been outraged all week at these hearings, but, that kind of goes without saying, so. I can't really think of no more outrage, you know?
I'm sure. Let me just do a quick scan of trending topics on Twitter, young. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Dang, still talking about Mochella, huh? Okay.
Yeah, that's going to stay in the news for a minute.
Well, I'd be glad when Kyrie go ahead and sign that big ass extension to Brooklyn, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That nigga, like, he crazy, but he ain't crazy enough to leave that much money behind, yeah.
Right. Well, you never know.
Man. Prove me wrong, bro. It's a lot of fucking money. Oh. I know, young. People gotta stop acting like, Dwayne Wade be looking sweet in these pictures, you know? When you let Gabby dress him up.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah.
It's terrible, you know?
It is.
This nigga look like Leroy from Fame, you
know? Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Don't have much outrage. Fear not, Bobby back next week. All right, entertainment wise, prayers up to little TJ. He got shot in Jersey today, man. Like, this is where he's supposed to go to get out the hood, to get away from these niggas, and he gets shot in the fucking burbs of Jersey, man. So he had a surgery. If those don't know, TJ, little TJ is a drill artist out of the Bronx. Yeah, real popular with the kids, especially in New York or whatever. A couple, little hits or whatever, man. And he got shot today in his car. I don't know if it was at the gas station, but he had to be rushed to surgery. And this is why Eric Abbs out here burning bikes, Sean. Because these little niggas in New York are wild right now, bro. Super wild. Like, this is like, to my New York and Philly, DC and Philly, but New York is in the midst of a very bloody fucking summer, you know, spring and summer, I should say. And the Vons is like reaching out to the fucking burbs now, because they know that's where these niggas are, and it's all about finding your ops, where they stand, and putting them down. So, this is real sad there, man. What else is here? Oh yeah, XXL put his freshman list out, man. I don't know if I'm getting hip hop washed this year, but starting with this list, I don't know anybody on this list besides Saucy Santana for all the wrong reasons. Respectfully. And I'm just gonna have to hear something, I guess, but I just don't have this urge to go out and listen to them like I have in the past and shit, man. And just in general, man. And it's funny that I wanted to bring this up, broach this topic last week before we got this surprise album from Drake. But I was telling young dude at work, whatever, man, I was like, you know, since last September, like, everybody, the whole fucking quarantine, you know, that first year, we got great fucking music. Obviously, you know, I was happy with the Nas project, man. You know, Benny and Conway put out great projects, man. Big Sean, like, it was just like a lot of great music when people, like, really had to sit in the house and come up with, you know, material, whatever. But that whole time in the back of everyone's head and on their lips, whatever, like, well, yeah, that's cool, but wait until we get Cole, Kendrick, and Drake. And since last September, since Dave began to put out their content, dare I say, all their projects have been disappointments. And you talking to the Cole guy here, young, like, the album was cool, young, but it just didn't, like, last. Like, it kind of came and went.
Yeah, I agree.
Drake's album before this one kind of came and went, and you know Drake is the fucking king of the modern day rollout, young. Like, you know, he's going to get you ready for the project, he's going to give you the first single, then he's going to drop that shit at midnight, have, you know, social engagements and everything. Shit came and went. Kendrick, okay, we've been waiting super long for him.
So you're talking about Certified Lover Boy?
Yeah.
Okay, alright.
Came and went, yeah. Kendrick, waiting the longest for him, because at least, you know, during like the past four years, whatever, features.
Let me ask you a question real quick. I hate to interrupt you. So do you think that Drake, Certified Lover Boy, came and went because it wasn't enough like club radio songs on it, or because he followed it right up with something else? Because it seemed like he didn't really let that album breathe at all.
He didn't let it breathe, but usually his first single rings off and it has legs. I don't even know what the first single was from this album. It was just like, you know, like, everybody can't do the Beyonce thing, just fucking drop an album. It's just going to live for the next 10 weeks and shit, man. But if you're Drake, hey, I used to do that. Why wouldn't I be able to do it now? But it just didn't connect, man.
The first single was Way Too Sexy. That was released September 3rd. And then the second one was Girls Want Girls. That was released in early October.
Yeah. Pew. And that meteor isn't going up. You know, it's pew. Crashing and burning.
That shit still got nominated for Best Rap Album at the Grammys.
Man, come on,
kid. Not till Drake, man. Okay. Commercial success, David number one. Came to Drake's 10th U.S. number one album. Achieved the largest opening week in the U.S. for an album in 2021.
Oh.
Breaking Apple Music and Spotify records for the biggest opening day streams on all platforms.
It achieved- don't always hit off the top, young. But then I remember people talking about, like, that week one to week two, him and Cole just had, like, massive fall-offs from week one to week two.
Okay.
And the proof is in the pudding. Like, you know, I'm not out every weekend like I was before, man. But they ain't playing. They wasn't playing that Drake shit. They wasn't playing shit when we were in Vegas last year. You know, a month after that shit dropped. Usually, though, that Drake first single, that shit lives for at least 2 months, you know? This shit just kind of came and went. Cole's did as well, but he's not really a radio guy, whatever, but, you know, usually it does, like, live on the fucking charts and shit from his core fan base, but he was like, eh, I heard it, it's cool, nah, it'll go gold, you know, maybe limp to platinum, whatever, you know, not to fucking shake a stick at gold or platinum, young, but, like, we talking about the three fucking artists of their generation in the genre. And then we finally come to Kendrick, man. Like, double album, drop, midnight, everybody wants to get through it and call it a classic right away. 2 weeks later, man, not a peep from anybody. Nobody talking about that album at all. And that's not to say that you can't have an album that goes under the radar that people, you know, don't clamor over or whatever and talk about. Like, you know, shit. A lot of rappers have classics that, you know, went under the radar or whatever, man. But I just don't feel that here. And I feel like it's kind of a shift, man. Like, you know, they're still greats. They're still goats of their generation, whatever, man. But, you know, have they passed their prime?
Damn. I already had some of these niggas washed. Man.
Ain't gotta be washed, Kenny, but, like, these niggas ain't young no more. Like, man.
Yeah, they not. You're right. They not.
Not only are they not young, but, you know, people love, you know, over the past, like, you know, fucking decade. Yeah, well, you can say what you want, man, but Drake, he runs the radio, man. And this is, like, you know, before this last album, whatever, like, when, like, Certified Lover Boy had just come out, or maybe it was a couple like, weeks or months old or whatever, man, like, these youngins don't really fuck with Drake like that, you know? He an old nigga to them.
Yeah.
Like, we don't listen to that shit like...
When you start thinking, like, how long he been around, yeah, I get it.
Oh, man, like, one thing I'll give him, I don't think his music has the depth and the legs, lyric-wise, of the Kendrick and the Cole projects. But this run that he's had over the past 15 years, I don't think we've ever seen anything like it, nor will we ever see anything like it again. This nigga ran shit for a decade plus, bro. Every time he got cold, he attached his name to something that was hot, made it hotter, sucked all the life out of it, you know, to the detriment of the Block Boy JBs and all these other niggas that he, you know, hopped on tracks with or whatever, man. But he kept his name at the top of the fucking charts, young, for like 15 years. It's crazy. You know, wasn't Jay bragging about 7 straight summers. Critics might not admit it, but nobody rapped it quite like that. Like, 15, nigga.
Yeah.
Fuck your 7. But, you know, everybody's time comes and goes. Not to say he won't ever have another number one again, but he hasn't, like, captured the imagination of the general population with these last two projects like he did previously, man. Like, remember when that fucking Hotline Bling dropped, man?
Yeah.
Niggas was, even before niggas was really TikTok, niggas was TikTok parodying that joint, Hotline Bling challenging and all that shit, young. Like, that's the shit I'm talking about. Like, man, this joint came and went. Which leads me to the new album. Yeah, people mad, young. Because this nigga made a dance album, you know?
Yeah.
I don't care. I ain't gonna pile on that. The only good thing to come from this shit is I see people cite my man K Trinada, you know? Saying that, how you gonna make a dance album without, you know, going to K Trinada? Which is a very good point, young, but, you know, when you think you that nigga, young, why am I going to pay this nigga to do something I can do myself? It's going to be the same beats, right? Nah, nigga. Nah. I want that Mofongo, you know, I ain't going to the carry out to get Wong to make it, you know? So, yeah, man, if you're not, like, familiar with K Trinada, I've been singing his praises, for, like, the last 2 years. I got into these damn Boiler Room, mixes on YouTube, and, I came across one of his, and, yeah, man, I think his in L.A. and his at the Pitchfork Fest, I listen to them shits every fucking week, man. Like, I think he's the best DJ in the fucking world, like, you know, for his crowd. And, yeah, man, hopefully, like, some other, like, you know, mainstream artists that are looking for this, I guess, fucking house dance music is the new Afrobeats in 2022. People gonna start doing that because I think Beyonce did a record. I haven't heard her record yet, but I think people saying that it's a dance record. So if that's gonna be the wave, then, like, hopefully the goat can eat from this shit. You know?
So where did this come from? Everybody want to do dance records now.
I connect everything to people doing some shit for money, Kenny, and I think that people have been sitting back past two and a half years saying, when niggas come outside, I'm going to make these motherfuckers dance, huh? Because everybody ready to dance. Only so much living room party you can do and shit, man. So when these motherfuckers come out to dance at these damn festivals, I'm going to have the soundtrack to their summer.
Okay.
That's all I can come up with. Now, as far as the Drake shit is concerned, man, that shit has brought forth the question, is traditional hip-hop about to die out? Because you have a whole bunch of, like, alternative drill rap, things aren't, like, lyric, you know, centric or whatever, man, but while that may be true, the top of the food chain, like the top rappers, you know, even with their lackluster sales, whatever, are still the guys who can rap. Like, that kind of gets lost in, like, you know, it's a new generation, they got a new sound, whatever, whatever. Yeah, they might sell a single, but they don't sell albums. Niggas who can rap, who give you something to come back to, have replay value, those are the ones that, you know, sell the most. But if one of those guys is turning to dance music, does that mean the whole genre is in trouble? While these other niggas who rap about the streets are all getting locked up. is this a shift that's happened before our eyes? That's a question people are asking right now. I hope not, pray not. And by the reception of this, I don't think we're in danger yet, but I don't want to get ahead of myself, because sometimes people have to be broken into something to then accept it. Like, the things that these young rappers talk about, how they look, how they act, that shit was laughed at. That shit was laughed at 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's the standard. You know, how many people shelled fucking Yeezus in the way it sounded or whatever, and I go back to that and like, you know what? That kind of like, you know, started the way niggas was doing this, and they started, you know, delivering lines like that. Like, it might be the start of something, young. Like, never say never. Maybe these youngers might want to stop getting locked the fuck up, young. Hey, let me make a dance record instead. I don't know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't put anything past hip hop, because where it is right now, as opposed to 20 years ago, 25 years ago, I never would have predicted this shit. Like this fucking Something in the Water, like Tyler's fucking performance, bro. Loved every second of it. Know all these fucking songs. When, you know, I've only become a Tyler fan in the last 6 years, you know? I used to hate that kid, you know? Such an asshole.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
But god damn, he's talented, and he worked on his craft, you know? And to the point where, you know, he's like, well, he's an asshole, but he can rap. And he does make some hard-ass beats. And, yeah, the album does flow. Like, he does very well put together. And, oh, he just did it again. Now he got a joint with Drama. Like, you know what? He's a great fucking artist, you know?
Yeah.
And his show is, it's the best show. Like, he has an Amazon special with the same set or whatever. It's just a longer set than the one he did for, obviously, a festival or whatever, man. But I watch both of them shits in their entirety, because it's just good, young. He has good diction, clarity, young. Like, you can hear everything he's saying. It's entertaining. Got good guests or whatever, man. Like, it's a great fucking performance, young, when that really wouldn't have been my cup of tea 10 years ago. So, never say never.
Yeah, he definitely put on a great show. I'll give him that.
Yeah. Gotta go back and watch that Clips performance, though, man. Been waiting on that for years. All right. I was going to say, talk about this last week, speaking of, like, festivals and performances. So, week before last, was the Governor's Ball in New York, and a couple of us were going to go up, because on Sunday, K-Chinata and Cole performed, and I really wanted to see K-Chinata more so than Cole, but it was on a Sunday, and I had to work on Monday, so I didn't go. But, you know, luckily, you know, if you look hard enough with these big festivals or whatever, like, if it's not on Amazon or something like that, man, like, they're streaming somewhere, YouTube, IG Live, something like that. I know, same thing with the Roots picnic a couple weeks ago. But just like these damn verses and shit, man, some of the best shit during these damn live performances and festivals are the fucking comments, you know? So good. So during the Roots picnic, man, so during the Governor's Ball, when Cole performed, I guess Playboi Carti was supposed to perform right before him or whatever, but he didn't perform, whatever. Like, them fucking Cardi fans were spamming the fuck out that damn live, you know? Just relentless, you know? cold mid. Nobody want to hear this. I'm going to sleep. Where's Cardi? Read over everything. Like, they was going back to back. Just going super asshole on his performance. And not to be outdone, the week before at the Roots picnic, whatever, Mary J. closed the show out with the Roots. But right before her, Jasmine Sullivan performed. I didn't know Jasmine Sullivan had stains, John.
Me neither. Okay.
But yeah, they're pretty big assholes, young, and pretty indignant about, like, how good of an artist she is. Like, they was trashing Mary, young.
See, I didn't know none of this. Okay.
Nigga, neither did I, young. I was sitting there smiling, Kenny. Because they were being belligerent. But if you listen to Jasmine's performance, then Mary J., they wasn't lying about them vocals, young. I didn't know that girl could sing like that, young.
Yeah, she can blow. Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know. Mary J. got them songs that everybody knew the words, so, you know, she putting the mic up, letting everybody sing like, they like, if I wanted to listen to a record, I would have listened to the record.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when you go to concerts, you want to hear the person blow like Jasmine did, all caps.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, the Roots sound good, but Mary J., I don't know about this one, y'all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So-and-so, everybody know this song. I'm 23. I don't know this song, so that don't apply to me. And I'm not old, so so good, young. So good.
Yeah. Damn.
Yeah, man. It's literally a nigga you run into tomorrow saying, yeah, man. I know Kareem scored all them points and shit, man, but who the fuck want to shoot that ugly ass hook shot, man? Like, niggas gonna block that shit nowadays, young. Yeah, man, he looks sorry.
Damn.
Stop paying attention to her. She is trolling. No, I'm not. And, she don't sing as good as Jasmine. What we doing? She's cracked another note, y'all. Is this good to y'all? Question mark. Real good, young. Real good.
Damn.
Yeah, man. A young motherfucker who don't give a fuck about history, young. Like, man, that's a L. You arguing with yourself. You try to refute anything they say. Because they don't care.
Damn.
Hey, Kenny. You can either feel old.
Now, I'm just thinking of like what's the 411 and like My Life and all of them. This is great. Share My World. Great album, John. Like, but I guess you washed it.
Hey, Kenny, you know how I feel, young. I'll go to war with anybody and tell them to their face, young. Mary J. will wash Beyonce.
That's at Hot Fire Starter on Gmail, Twitter, Facebook. Yeah.
Yeah, that's at Bossa 2030.
Yeah. Yeah, me no speaking English, man.
He rolled that tongue that time.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah. So, man, she had a fucking decade head start, you know? We gonna, like, you just named, like, we gonna just ignore what's the 411, My Life, and all that shit, you know?
Yeah, I ain't doing shit. I ain't, you know, you and your own brother, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Street lights are on. I'm outside.
Mm-hmm.
Who want it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's all I have for entertainment. Yeah. So, okay. We can get to our final segment. KB, you got any tanks?
Nope.
All right, so I did open up the show last week, did this and got lost, obviously. But my old head Wayne came to me at work last week and was like, "Hey, you doing anything in the water this weekend?" I said, in the water?
Yeah.
I said, "You mean something in the water?"
Yeah.
He's like, "Oh, yeah, yeah, something for real got going on for Juneteenth."
yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, keep going.
He said, "That is for Juneteenth, or is this too early for black people?" So, me completely getting lost in the point, and I'm like, "Wayne, you know nothing's ever too early for black people." He's like, "Yeah, they want to do it right since this is our first black holiday, though." And I was like, "You not counting MLK Day?" He said, "What, payday?" Well, technically, that's not a holiday, but I can see. I'm like, "No, Wayne, MLK Day."
I don't know what it made me think of Tommy Davidson back in the day with ML.
Oh,
pick it up. Somebody just taking the shit out of orders, you know, and hitting that bell, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the whole time me and Wayne had this conversation, our office manager only comes in the office once every pay period. Everyone's every two weeks, whatever. She's walking past, and she's like talking to her brace, like, "It's too early for this."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Yeah, just roll with it." So, yep, we're going to get our timing down, and Wayne and I will be on this 2K24 Vaudeville circuit. So, look out for y'all.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. Ooh, I got another tank too. I just remembered, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Let me pull it up. Let me pull it up. Pull it up. So I didn't get out last weekend. It was my man Troy's birthday. So him, Marv, and Gooch got up. This text from Gooch. "At this bar with Marv, and he just tanked. He was clowning a Hampton millennial chick for not seeing Stomp the Yard." "How you not see that joint with Nick Cannon?" I said, "Bro, that's Drumline, not Stomp the Yard." He said, "Oh, well, you seen that?" So, we got a take time to cube and B in the same session, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Shout out to the bros, you
know? Yep.
Never a dull moment. All right, KB, let's get to listener tanks and feedback of the weeks.
All right. So, this one is from Devin. Entertainment questions. Said, "What's up, 5-star the crew? Been a hot minute since I last wrote in some random questions. Number one, have any of you seen Severance yet on Apple TV? I binged all 9 hours of it last weekend, and as good as advertised, I give it an A-, and I'm not an easy critic. Premises as interesting as it sounds, and the writing and cast are quality enough to back it up. It's definitely a slow burner, but I actually like the first half of the season a bit more than the second. Would recommend." I haven't seen it, but I think you saw it, bro. You were a boss, all right.
Yeah, but both of us have seen it. And I agree with everything you said. It's hot fire. First half of the season is a little bit better than the second half of the season, but it's really intriguing, man. Like, it's a weird-ass show. I think that's why we didn't really recap the episodes on here, because it's something you guys see. Like, trying to explain this shit, these motherfuckers basically get lobotomies and live half their life at work and don't remember anything outside of work while they're in the building, and vice versa. And then, you know, system sounds too perfect because it is, and yeah.
All right.
Conflict.
Yeah. Goes on to say, also on Apple TV is The Servant joint that Night Dog is affiliated with. I'm about halfway through season 2, and it's pretty good, though not quite the level of Severance. It's like a mystery / thriller / black comedy combo. It's also got my girl Claire from 6 Feet Under in the lead role. And it's great seeing her again. If you're a fan of that show, I give this joint a solid B, and the eps are 30 minutes, so lower investment. Anyway, I hate to sign. I'm sorry.
That joint, I think it's on season 3 now. I fell all the way off. First 2 seasons were really good. Third season, it just like started off and they just kind of went back in this little circle I thought we were out of or whatever. And yeah, man, I don't care anymore.
All right.
There's a lot of good TV out here, and you might be a little bit more patient if we were still inside like we were 2 years ago, but I don't got time for shit that I don't care about anymore. So my TV consumption has lessened a bit with shows that aren't good. Like, I'll make time for a good show, Young, but if that show joined Reggie Young, like, and it's like, you know, episodes that are piling up, and I don't have like history, like I'll cut this goddamn Walking Dead way more bail than I'll cut, you know, Severance or whatever, because the history I've invested in it. But, you know, 2 seasons, something, and then fall off, like, I'm good.
All right. Goes on. So anyway, I hate to sound like an Apple employee or some shit, but they do give you a free week to binge. After that, I think it's only $5 or $6 a month. I dropped Netflix many months ago, so I might just keep it. I'm on the top of greatest hip hop albums. Have you ever heard Masters of the Universe by Binary Star? Very underground, still one of my all time favorites. Where would you rank the track KG Beast to give me chills? I've never heard that before.
Binary Star. Name sounds familiar, but obviously I can't quite place them.
It sounds like, if it's on Apple Music, I'm going to check it out, but
I'll check it out. Binary Star. When did it come out? You know what? Nope. I don't know. I'm thinking about Dilated Peoples. Nope. That's pretty good, too, by the way. Binary Star. Dilated Peoples. Yep.
Binary Star. Master Universe.
Pop right up.
Original release as Waterworld in 1999. Binary Star's debut album.
No, see. Waterworld is
came on October 31st, 2000.
Yeah. I'm looking to similar artists and features or whatever, so it's like it's in like the exact lane I thought it would be. J Live and Zion I, Cunning Linguist, People on the Stairs, Hyro, of course. Yeah. If it's got that vibe, I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, I'll check it out. All right.
Better not sound like motherfucking Jurassic 5. I hated them.
Yeah. Also, between Bob having kids, having a mute mic, and it'll sound like Funk Flex on a mixtape. Do you ever think we'll ever hear his opinion on stuff ever again? Take it easy, Devin.
I would say yeah, but last week was a special kind of terrible, Young.
Yeah, we'll get it together.
This nigga was like literally the audio version of my man Retrospect when he throw that peace sign up and start fading, Young.
Damn. Yeah, we're good together, y'all. Alright. This one is from BP the Great. It's out of Blue Chips. He said, I'm on vacation with my girlfriend in 6 months. We're having a great time. It's getting late, so I put on Blue Chips. This is the best basketball game ever seen in a basketball movie. Ed O'Neill hits the screen and my girl says, is that Ted Bundy? Yeah, I raised my brow, shook my head, and got to texting y'all. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's Al Bundy.
Hey, man.
Yeah. This one is from Jared. Titled Tank Log Overfloweth.
Oh, boy.
What's up, fellas? I've been meaning to send an email but kept putting it off. It wasn't until I tanked and stood 10 toes down and that I knew it was time to send something to clear out the tank log. So my 16-year-old son, listening to Gucci Lemonade in the car, hear him saying chicken lemon wings with a freeze pop. Actually, lemon pepper wings and a lemon pepper wings in a freeze cup. He repeated saying he wanted to hear "Working on the Weekend." It's actually "Life Is Good." His mom called me saying he kept asking about the song "God's Spain." Actually, it's "God's Plan." Yeah. And we went kayaking, and he hoped a salami wave didn't strike our boat. He meant tsunami. Mm-hmm.
I'm glad y'all didn't drown.
But pray he might get it from his mama, because the son's mom, she called and asked if I started the guys yet. We're talking about the boys. By the way, we ain't talking about that.
Yeah. So I'm halfway through the episode 3. I'm intrigued now to find out. I go to one of my nerd channels that breaks down the comics and shit. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to read it, but are the comics this fucking graphic too, young?
Yeah, they are, from what I understand, yeah.
Yo, this nigga went up in somebody's dick and exploded, young. I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah.
This is a bit much, young, even for me, huh?
I think this week, I think Seth Rogen, I don't want to tank it, but I think he teased this week's episode as Herogasm.
Look, man, I just saw Westworld's about to come back. So, The Boys is cool, but I'm hoping they don't drag this shit out like Westworld dragged out them two bitch bots about to fight them. Like, everybody know Homelander and Soulja Boy going, they're going to get it on, yeah? And I hope they don't make us wait a whole fucking season to get that showdown, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because that would, you know, have that in the back of my mind and seeing all these, like, you know, niggas taking this vault, becoming, like, kind of superhero-y, and gotta see motherfucking Last Lonzo face get fatter every episode now. Like, I'm not here for that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, you know, so far, it's cool, man, and, you know, always has a fucking jaw-dropping scene.
No doubt about it, man.
Every week, bro. This show is a lot.
You know? Yeah, it is. It is. Dude, yeah, that's undoubtedly the thing that people are waiting to see, like, what happens with Homelander. It's obvious that Soulja Boy can kill him.
Mm-hmm.
That he is the weapon. Yeah, some things happen in the comics that kind of give a hint as to how this whole thing is going to end up. I'm not going to give people spoilers, but it makes sense. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if the viewers are going to like it, but it makes sense. So, I'll leave it at that. Alright, it goes on to say St. Louis has a fairly new aquarium that's narrated by St. Louis native John Goodman. She said, "Ooh, I know that voice. That's, snapping fingers, Fred Savage from Seventh Heaven." No response. I just started rubbing my temples.
Christ, John.
Yeah, that's why I said, yeah, the kid probably didn't have a chance, John. I'm sorry, but damn.
You scrappy the kid up,
man. Yeah. Had to scrap little youngin up, dog. Like,
he got scrapped.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that scrap.
Sorry to say.
Oh, my.
Yeah. There's more.
No offense, but does his mama sit wide or have a big bulb, young?
Oh, boy.
That lady. Scrap,
yeah. She also said she was sick of the real cocky dude that sings but also sucks. I then asked who she was talking about. while making air quotes, she says, the king of current R&B, Young Queef, and was dead serious. I could wrap my head around that one. She meant Jacquees. Jacquees. Young Queef. Hey, yo. Yo. Young Queef. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, I'm back, young.
Yeah. She told my son she used to have a crush on Mario Lopez that played in 90210. Yeah, he was a Saved by the Bell.
hey, Mario Dog, shout out, yeah. Everybody take a shot.
Yeah. Take a shot, yeah. Man.
Let's go to this club.
Hey, guys, hey. Never forget it, man. Going on, guys? I'm going to get him in here.
My favorite.
Yeah. I'm like, nigga.
We would have had a photo shoot, young. Like, nah, man. Somebody going to see this, young.
Yeah.
Man. Mm-hmm. Like, we going to put some ash and wash motherfucking filters over this, young. We going to Roger Rabbit, young. Like, we going to do something, young. Commemorate this.
Man. Son took a picture with his leg up, like the Captain Morgan guy. She said, look at him. He posing like the most incredible man alive. Yeah, she meant the most interesting man in the world. Now, I don't know. It may not be all the baby mom because he got one in here, too. He's had a real chill cigar and fire pit vibe. A conversation came up about youthful crushes. I said, old girl from Marvel right now, Spider-Man's aunt. A dude who's around my age said he couldn't think of who it was. And I said, she was in My Cousin Vinny. He perked up and was like, oh, yeah, she's hot, looks good for at her age. Before he could say the right name, I said, Alyssa Milano, took a puff through my head back as if I was reminiscing. One girl said, nah, I know who you're talking about, but that ain't her. I was adamant on her for a good minute until someone Googled the right name. It was Marissa Tomei. Yeah, the picture with name combo stopped me in my tracks. She said, ain't that worse than being that loud and that wrong. Sorry, so long, fellas. Love the show. JD. Yeah, man. I remember that Milano, you know. Man.
But, I can see that one, though. It's still a good tank, though.
Yeah, it's a great tank, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good tank. It's solid.
All right. This one is from Steve. Work season 2, episode 4. Black people be looking out. White niggas be oversharing. Yep. What's good, fellas? Hope all is well. Gonna start this email out with a little trapping ain't dead. These niggas just be getting caught news. Apparently, they trying to give Montrezl Harrell 5 years just for weed? Damn! Dave Chappelle voice. nigga, ride through Central Kentucky looking like a 6'7 Migo, like that wasn't suspicious. But free Trez, he ain't do that shit. Moving on. All my life, I fancy myself as a man of the people. By the way, Dave forever was dumb as shit for how he said that, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
20 years just for weed? Damn! Yeah. That's how a nigga would have said it, you know, who was selling weed. Yeah. So good, you know, so good.
Yeah.
He said, all my life I fancy myself as a man of the people, the heart of the streets, the people's champ. People naturally fuck with me, and I don't know why. I barely be talking to these niggas. It's a gift and a curse, honestly. Well, the gift is that black people be looking out. For about 3 months, we've had an interim clinical director from another location while the company looks for a permanent director. This nigga looks like a 5'7 great value Billy D. Williams. Hold on, man. Nigga got a dry slick back and one of them Mike Epps mustaches, but he cool. He really mean Mike Epps as Richard Pryor. Mustaches. Or Mike Epps says it was a Judge Joe Brown. Man, one of them mustaches, man.
A dry slick back is nasty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. With the mustache to go with it, now, man. Yeah. This nigga retired military. Nigga trying to get me sent to some more training up in Nashville. You know what that means? More trap beats. Another nigga that be looking out is our technician supervisor. This nigga's basically me in 20 years. Nigga been at the hospital 30 years, and they won't let him interview for the clinical director position because of SISM. They left the Freeman, my dog, got my nigga in the pawn shop unit for... in the pawn shop unit for a 30 ball. That's why he be looking out for me. Nigga said, I'm his McNulty, except I don't be careful.
Hold up. Hey, run that back, yo.
He said, I'm his McNulty, except I don't be careful. Oh, shit. Yeah, that's McNulty's. That's McNulty's downfall. He cared so much. Yeah. Oh, that's pretty good, yeah.
McNulty kicking that chair.
He cared so
much. That's too good, yeah. Yeah. Too good.
Oh, yeah. Man, oh man, y'all about to make me look at the wild all over again. Right. See how much McNulty can, you know? Oh, shit. Countless other niggas be looking out. I be finessing discount breakfast in the cafeteria on a daily by being polite to the staff. Mm-hmm. Janitorial staff keeps me stocked up with gloves and sandy wipes. Lastly, my niggas Jasper and Earl. Those are two of the most old nigga names I ever heard. Don't be charging me for parking. I don't know if that's the actual names, but these niggas wear Kangos on the daily, so that's what I'm gonna go with. Pretty good. The curse is white niggas be oversharing. For some reason, white niggas feel like I'm a calming presence to talk to. It's probably because I'm gonna be off that loud first thing in the morning, and these white niggas be turning and roll my high with their annoying ass life stories. This been Michelle, our secretary, is always first one to come up to me with a story about white Jesus and her church band. The weakest genre of music on planet Earth is Christian rock. Them songs don't be talking about shit.
Hey, yo. This nigga said the gospel song don't be talking about shit. Yeah. Yo, this nigga is out of bounds.
Except for God, you know.
I know, man.
Yeah. She loves the metal and everyone's business. And act like she's someone's boss. Apparently, she's looking for a man. But she's built like Danny DeVito when he was in The Penguin. When he was The Penguin, excuse me. It wasn't no Penguin movie. Zero cheeks. Don't nobody want to wake up to that forever. Yeah. I told you before about this bitch-ass nigga Dave. Nigga that allegedly had a heart attack. This weak-ass nigga allegedly had back surgery last week.
Come on,
nigga. Man. How you allegedly had back surgery?
How you allegedly have a heart attack and back surgery, huh?
Nigga was quick to return to work and pawn his work orders off on everyone. Light duty ass nigga. This nigga also is supposed to be getting signed to surgery because he got too much inner nostril meat. Pause. Inner nostril meat. Paulin almost had this nigga on the first 48 about a month ago. Yeah, not that pollen, you know? Yeah. This nigga funny as shit. Lastly,
I can't even laugh.
Yeah. Lastly, the white nigga that overshares the most is this nigga Robert. My first week on the job, this nigga told me his fiance cheated on him out of nowhere. Apparently, she was getting smashed at a gas station. Damn.
Jesus.
I stared at that nigga like the gift of the kid in Popeyes. The fuck was I supposed to say to that a couple months ago? This nigga told me that she moved the boyfriend into their house. Mind you, they have kids. Nigga cried when I asked where dude slept. Recently, this nigga told me she moved out with dude and left him with the kids. My name is Steve, but my last name ain't Harvey. I'm not trying to fix this nigga life, but I gotta play nice just in case this nigga try to air this bitch out. Moving on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Disclaimer, the following is for entertainment purposes only. Allegedly, someone I know got prescribed them blue diamonds from the VA. Allegedly, someone I know got them for the low. They know supplies will sell off fast. Jasmine Earl said finna cop them all. Allegedly, trapping ain't dead. These niggas just scared. Rest in peace, the Big Trouble. Stop, pray, and stay out the way. Y'all be easy, Steve.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm.
Oof. Yeah.
Rest in peace to Scoob and my motherfucking coolness, nigga. I'm cooking now.
Yeah, don't bullshit. Man.
That nigga said alleged back surgery. Yeah. Jesus.
This one's my old friend Leonard Brothers. Mom's TV Tank. What's up, fellas? Just writing to report a tank for Mom Dukes. We were talking about the door stopper I posted online a moment ago, and she asked how much they were on Amazon. I looked it up. It was $23. And she said, only paid $10 for mine when she got it 3 years ago. I asked where she got it. She said, I got it from that JQV store. I asked what that was. She said it was one of those channels on TV. I was like, mean QVC? She said, yeah, my eyes got big as shit like Bob looking at some real cheese. And I grabbed my laptop. Start typing this shit. Hey, that's fucked up, you know. Anyway, that's it for now. Thanks for all the great content over the years. I appreciate you, brothers, for real. Damn. Oh, Nick, can't look at cheese and shit. This one's from Andre. This title, Tanks, Cheers, Niggas. This dropping off a few tanks, more like mass self-report. Recently, a couple of the homies came out to visit. We spent most of the weekend drunk, and I've been dropping tanks all weekend. I know these niggas do listen and will report me if I don't report myself, old pressed-ass niggas. So here we go. We were talking about cartoons from the 90s when I said I would not mind an adult version of Dark Bird Duck. Yeah, it was Darkwing Duck. Mm-hmm.
Dark Bird Duck. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good.
That sound real good and drunk. Mm-hmm.
Still on cartoons, I said... called the black character from Silverhawks Hot Fries. Yeah, I mean Hot Wings. To my defense, I was smashing some truffle fries at the time. By the way, Twitter isn't ready for a black character named Hot Wings. Niggas would have a fit. It's very true.
Wouldn't they?
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know?
Hey.
Man, you dare see. Was... Go ahead.
Dare I say that they were spies? Go ahead, though.
There's a little bit of outrage. They did a... like that TV show, What If, on Disney Plus, they did a What If comic for Miles Morales if he was Thor instead of Spider-Man. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah, there was some outrage about that.
Nerds mad or...
Yeah, some of the language, mad. Some of the language, people were kind of, they felt it was a little stereotypical.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
He called, like, Asgard his hood and, you know, yeah. It's a lot of shit like that, so, yeah. Going to say on politics, I call Clarence Thomas Clarence Williams. I low key started cooking. Imagine Clarence Williams in that robe next to Scalia. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Scalia?
Yeah. It could be a whole lot of shit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We were discussing the quality of American products. When I said the problem is planned oblivion, these new cars can't last 10 years nowadays, I meant planned obsolescence. Yeah. I'm not playing oblivion. And last one, we were talking about flying home quickly because one of the boys' wife kept video calling every hour. I said, you better hop on that conquistador and be home by tomorrow or she'll be here knocking on all of our doors looking for your ass. Yeah, I meant Concord. Yeah, not conquistador.
That conquistador, yeah.
Yeah. Those are all that I can remember. I know the group chat will roast me for the ones I missed, but oh well. Stay safe, Andre. Appreciate that, brother.
Nothing like tanking with the fellas, right?
Yep. And this one's from Tyrone. He said, nigga said hot dog gonna holler and had the nerve to get mad. A nigga called him a hot dog. Otherwise, them some pussies. If they want war, give them war. You just gotta win, nigga. Furthermore, do number one dad got any advice for smart ass children? Always trying to get over. I respect the hustle, but feel bad when the wife is the mark. I try to look out, but she playing chess on her ass like a motherfucker. Try to tell her she dealing with a sociopath. She don't hit me though. Y'all be easy one. Yeah. I couldn't help you, Tyrone. Nah, I don't know, bro. Can't help you, man. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, okay. All right, man.
This set of drinks, man. I ain't think I can cook like this without my fucking Martino or Carrion Young. But
right.
Prove me wrong.
Absolutely. Man. Yep.
All right, KB. Let's get some shots and get it out here.
Yeah, man. As always, everybody listens to the show. Much appreciate it. Any questions, comments, send them to hotfivestarter@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at hotfivestarter and at KBADS. That's KBADDS. And if you'd like to donate to the podcast, you can do so at patreon.com/hotfivestarter. And we'll see y'all next week.
All right. Appreciate y'all out there being patient with us, man. You know, a lot of people missed us last week. Sorry about that. But hopefully, you know, we gave you a good three hours this week, man. So hope you guys can marinate with that. And we'll see you guys next week for, I guess, pre-holiday edition, man. Until then, it's FS Podcast, and we out.